the fallout from Hell in a Cell, going back to Saudi Arabia with the WWE, and coming up tonight, Sam Roberts on the hotline. It's the Shining Wizards!
The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is the man who is stronger than death, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
I have a small dick.
The
fuck?
Welcome. Is this for me?
Your dreams. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to help your intro.
Oh, sorry. And of course, I screwed it up because I panicked because I heard other music coming in. Oh, we are professionals. We are the Shining Wizards, and we are on our way to the end of year 7 to episode 400. And Matt's laughing because I got nothing.
Oh, you just face planted.
Wrestling talk?
Holy shit.
Talk about wrestling.
Thanks, Kev. What's going on, brother?
Not too much. You really did shockmaster the fuck out of that.
Well, it is what it is.
Wow.
I was thrown off by the fact that Vampiro's fart actually sounds like it's saying Vampiro.
Puro.
Nothing?
Puro.
Almost like Puroth.
Puroth.
As a man who farts a lot.
As a man?
I can't tonight.
Well, I can't believe you didn't take care of your business.
I couldn't.
What do you mean you can't?
My time was precious.
You're not you're not allowed to fart tonight?
No, because if I fart, there might be other activities that
occur. Oh, you have some sort of medical thing going on?
You might shart.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And the couch is a different shade of brown than what I would possibly be jettisoning into. Yeah.
But as a man who farts a lot, right? For Vampiro to, for the mics to pick it up, it must have been so loud over, the crowd noise.
Do you think he mic'd his ass or do you think he lifted up?
You got to think about it, right? Because I've been thinking about this.
Of course you have.
It's been bothering Matt
for a while. This is a heavy duty topic.
Look, right? When we first started this podcast 7 years ago.
That's right.
And we would do the show at Studio B at the squeaky chair. Every time the chair moved, the microphone picked it up. Granted, these aren't high quality AAA, CMLL, WWE microphones, but they still picked it up. So these guys are in chairs, they're calling the shots, they're moving, you don't hear anything. You don't hear their suits rustling, nothing. How powerful of a fart did he blast that it got picked up by somebody's mic?
The only thing I could say is the Mexican food down there really lives up to the hype, and it just makes everybody burn out, and Vampiro just gets affected more than other folks.
No, but Matt's right. That just doesn't happen.
How powerful?
It's rough.
That was muffled. That was a muffled fart.
He definitely put the microphone to his ass.
But he didn't lift up then.
Did he have a headset or was he? Or they do? Do they do?
He had a headset, didn't he?
Like little stands, like you're working with a gimmick.
No, I think he had headsets. I think they had headsets.
He, that would have to, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, too.
Do you think perhaps he was standing and it's the person next to him, their microphone picked it up? Like if there was like a moment and he stood up out of excitement and he was like,
did
farted.
You hear his commentary? He did not get up out of excitement for anything.
He was very mad that they didn't play his music.
No words, dude.
I'll tell you. Because that would be a lot of work if he had a headset and he took it off, a head mic, and then took it off and put his head mic to his ass.
Unless he was in the middle of eating and it dropped into his lap. But there would have been noise that the headphones dropped.
Dude, timing would. There's no. Like, the odds of that happening.
No, it was in the middle of a match.
You don't think it was, like, some, like, tech guy working in the back who accidentally turned his mic on or figured, hey, this show is bad enough, let me spice it up a little bit?
I don't know. Like, you know how sometimes, like, you butt dial somebody? Maybe he had, like, a mic in his. I don't know.
Yeah, like maybe
he had like a mic pack that he didn't know that existed.
Or wireless mic.
A wireless mic. Maybe. Because, like, that's very audible. Like, it's insanely audible.
Yeah, it was crazy loud. Crazy loud.
Farts. So what's your situation?
He's calling Pierrot.
That's you right now?
No, I just didn't have time to go. And I wanted to get Matt set up, and we had a little business to talk before we started. So,
well, if you need to go, please
go. No, because we have a very, very special returning guest. The last great broadcaster, Sam Roberts, is joining us.
Oh, I cannot wait to talk to Sam about you being an idiot.
Oh, stop.
Welcome home. Come back home.
Hey, Sam. Saw that you got fired by the WWE. Please come home.
All right.
Listen, he's not the only one that got duped by that. I thought he was let go, too.
He's the only one that sent Sam an email, though.
Well, we don't know that.
Granted, he did get him on the show, so
he
can't.
Responded within 2 minutes of getting the email, so he was happy to come back to join his boys.
Sure, he was just happy that he didn't get a hate email.
Here's the thing. Sam interviews all the WWE stars, but when he wants to be interviewed by professionals, he comes to us.
That's a good point.
Right?
Says the guy who flubbed the intro.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like...
might fart in his pants.
Sam gets a lot of hate mail. I just feel like Sam and Rosenberg, people just hate them.
Because it's out of jealousy. They're fans that made it.
Sure. Like, but why do you have to hate on somebody who made it?
Because that's the way it is online.
But it's not like they didn't, like, it's not like Sam and Peter have been in radio for like 15 years, because they have.
Yeah.
And they've been doing stuff like for a long time. Sam's been around for a very long time. More than 15 years.
Yeah, even if you consider, was he part of ONA when they were on NEW or no? Because even when they came to XM, that was 2002.
Yeah, I know he was there when they came to XM.
2003. Yeah, it was 2003.
So maybe he was, I don't think he was there. I don't know. Whatever.
Still, 15 years, dude.
I just don't understand all the hate. Like, people hate Conrad Thompson.
Oh, my God, dude.
He's a dude. He's a mortgage dude. He has his own company, and he had the funds to...
Because he worked his ass off running his mortgage company as well as he does.
And he could have the funds to pay for all those Kickstarters where it was like, if you pay, donate X amount, we'll fly somebody out to watch... the documentary,
the ECW documentary. He practically funded that thing himself,
and that's what he did with. And he got Shane Douglas, and that kind of turned into the empire that he has now. Look, if you're mad at him, that's fine, but don't knock his hustle and don't hate on him.
Well, if you want to criticize his performance on shows, that's okay. Like, if you don't like the content that Sam or Rosenberg or Conrad provide, that's okay. But you can't knock, for lack of a better phrase, you can't knock their hustle. Like, and you can't, like people might not like us. They can shit on us.
We get that all the time.
Yeah, of course we do. But you can't, you got to, there's that line of it, whether you might not like them, but you got to respect them, at least.
That's all it is. That's all it is. And those guys have been around, like we said, a long time.
So, moral of the story is, don't shit your pants in the middle of this show.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to.
Please.
And at least until after the interview with Sam.
I prefer if you did it before, like, what if you have, like, an emergency in the middle?
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
I might die during the show, though.
I'll grab the garbage can.
What's wrong with you?
I went down a rabbit hole of WebMD and Google stuff today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Kevin the hypochondriac.
Fucking, because I'm paranoid as shit. But like, I noticed, like, when I wear my, like, I wear these socks, right? Like, these are like tight socks. And then I noticed when I get home from work, there's the sock line and my leg is like a little.
So you think you have like diabetes now?
I think I got something going on.
Matt just looks at you in disgust.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And it's like, it's a sign of high blood pressure or congestive heart failure.
Your socks are too tight, dude.
Or your shoes are too tight.
It's shorts.
Or maybe your fucking snapback's too tight. You get.
I don't know what's going on. That's why I was always. I got here 7 minutes before the show.
You know what sucks? Kevin cursed, then you cursed, then I cursed.
That's
we
fine.
Blew it 8 minutes in.
We're trying.
Oh, I cursed long. I cursed a minute in.
We want to try and rein back on the foul mouth.
On the pottiness.
Really?
We want to try. It's not going to happen.
We're trying. For Sam's sake. Because he's a professional broadcaster.
And we're going to try. We're definitely.
But he's on
gonna,
XM.
Right. We're going to try and cut out the racist stuff.
That's
too.
Fine. That, okay we should have done that. Years ago.
Yeah, you know.
And the homophobia.
Yeah. I just don't want to lose our identity.
We're not going to lose our identity.
Okay.
We're the Shining Wizards.
You should probably not go to WebMD. And if you're really worried, go to a doctor.
I don't have insurance.
Find a shady doctor.
All well, right. If you have tumors, you could always call the pimple popper lady and she'll see you for free.
Have you watched that show?
I've been watching her since the YouTube stuff, dude. It's amazing.
The Asian gross. One?
Yeah. You ever see the one they pulled out a that's brain? Not... It was like a brain on the guy's what? Back.
I mean, I don't... Look, that stuff grosses me out. So I don't, there could be an Asian chick.
Stuff.
There could be a black dude. There could be a purple dude. I don't know anyone. I can't watch it. I know Louis loves that shit.
I love that shit.
I love that shit. And pimples. He's always shit. Like once, like every couple weeks, he puts like a nasty one up, and I like click it, and then I get like 5 seconds in.
Why?
I'm like, nope.
Why would you click it?
Because I'm just curious. I don't know.
But so wait, are we talking about putting the video up?
It's like a fucking car wreck.
Are we talking about dropping all cursing or just the F-bomb?
Well, considering the past 3 minutes have been an F-bomb-a-palooza, I don't think
I think this is
anything.
A conversation to be had after the show.
That's a good point.
What?
But we want to be
oh,
want to be
you meant
full.
Pimples. I could talk about pimples all day.
No,
anything.
No, I don't want to talk about pimples either because that stuff's disgusting.
All access to the audience. Let them know what we talk about.
No, that's going to be boring because we have Sam is coming up at 7:30.
Sam.
And we watched, I mean...
I watched a lot of wrestling
KM
this week.
KM and Fala were highly featured on another awesome episode of Impact Professional Wrestling.
It was good.
Yeah, I threw in the professional.
I was going to ask you.
Well, because if that's what we're trying to be, we might as well throw the word in as much as we can.
No, we're not. I think we already are professional.
That's a good point.
We are. We've been doing this almost 7 years.
Yeah, we're going to big 400th episode / 7 year celebration coming November.
Woo!
After Thanksgiving.
Yes.
After Matt's birthday extravaganza.
Oh,
back-to-back
God.
Weeks. Look out.
All right.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Buddy.
Are we doing another one of those? Do Kevin and I have to start making phone calls?
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Oh, oh no.
So,
how about we just book one big guest?
Oh, my thing is, if is this because now if you do it for him,
I know, it's going to be all the time now.
It's going to be for everyone again.
Of course.
It was so much fun, no?
No, it was.
It was great times, but, you know.
But what?
I don't know. Maybe we could do a best of where, like, we book the best guests out of all three of us for Matt's birthday.
We'll figure it out. This
yeah,
is another
we'll
discussion that we should have
that's
after
right.
the
no,
show.
No, but this is just what the people have to look forward to. I mean, that's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to promise them, like, a cavalcade of guests if we're not going to.
Promise them the world.
If we're not going to go that route.
And then severely disappoint them, just like my intro.
The story of the podcast.
Boom.
Severely disappointed.
That's it. The seven year itch.
Is it
cold in here? Yes.
No. It looks like the lights are like dimmer, or am I like having a stroke? Kevin,
you want me to look up on WebMD?
If I am having a stroke, it seems a
what
little.
What are your symptoms?
It seems like it's like
they could be dim. The lights are on a dimmer, but
I don't know if it's
the
outside either. That's bugging me out because it's like dusk.
Probably.
Ooh, dusk.
Dusk.
Dusk is a risky time.
So
risky
Impact
business.
Was. We're going to talk about Hell in a Cell. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw, but Sam is joining us at 7:30, so we want to talk about those things with him as well as making
Which,
fun of Tony.
I was surprised he wasn't on the kickoff show or anything. Maybe he had other plans.
Because he was fired. They sent him home.
He wasn't fired, stupid.
Well, we could ask him.
They used Rosenberg for the kickoff show.
Ah, that's right.
Which came on.
I watched that today.
It came on. I watched Hell in a Cell today because I wasn't home. So I don't even know what I did this weekend.
You were too busy watching Impact, which was awesome with KM.
I watched Impact Thursday night. I watched CMLL Friday night.
Damn it. Was it a pay-per-view? Like, was it a special?
It was the 85th anniversary show.
Oh, Anniversario.
Yes.
Oh.
Excuse me. Lo siento. Ah. And because I'm an Honor Club member, I could watch it for free.
I'm so far behind on my CMLL.
So far behind. The only thing I knew was that Matt Taven from Ring of Honor, past guest of the show.
That's right.
Was involved in a hair versus hair match. Him and Voldar Jr. against Rush and some dude that looked like Barbarian meets Tarzan.
Not Leo Rush.
Taz?
No, it was not Taz or Leo Rush.
This
Barbario,
was Rush.
I don't know. And the guy's name is Rush something of another.
Limba.
The thing was all in Spanish. I got home from work. I put it on.
Imagine that.
Rush. Limba, Rush.
And then he just bring out a stick. One time they all just yell, Limba. How do you actually pronounce his last name? Because I'm butchering it. Rush
Limba.
All right.
A-U-G-H. Aw.
They all did the Limba.
Aw, he's so cute. Aw.
They didn't do any. There was no like graphics on the screen when these guys came to the ring, so I didn't know who anybody was. They had like vuvuzelas or something that were like blowing.
It's pronounced Venezuela.
They were blowing the whole time. What? The vuvuzelas?
Don't forget it. Keep going.
It's a callback from like 3 episodes ago.
It was hard to watch.
Okay.
I didn't understand most of it.
I think the wrestling is a lot better than the AAA wrestling.
Do they have an English commentary version?
They were Ring of Honor and Ian Riccoboni was working on doing something for maybe the replay. Because I know CMLL and Ring of Honor and Impact, they kind of all run in the same circle. So we'll see what happens. But they did not have one Friday night.
So, man, that's tough. It's not like soccer.
No.
Where it's more exciting with the Spanish commentary.
It would have helped if they had like a little graphic on the screen when they came to the ring, just so I kind of knew who, like I knew who Ultimo Guerrero was.
Okay.
Just because we saw him at Ring of Honor, the final battle.
Yeah.
And then he was with two other Guerreros versus the Clan.
Oh, they were like all black, right? Like mostly black.
The Clan?
No, the Ultimo Guerrero.
The Ultimo Guerreros were all in green, actually. But the Clan was actually all in black.
Yeah, okay,
which doesn't make sense. You figured they'd all be in white.
You would think so. Well, you know. But they were Clan for something of another. Ooh. But there's only three of them.
Clan for life?
I don't know.
Clan the number four. Was it Clan Cuatro?
I don't know, man. It was all right, Ultimo, the Guerrero. It was like the match was like really slow, and everything is three falls.
Yes,
like every match is a best of three falls.
Yeah, of course, that's how they do a lucha.
It was interesting.
Do you like the method of lucha where there's no tags? Like there's a dive and the next guy.
I don't mind that because Pentagon and Phoenix.
I think it moves the matches along more quickly and it's more fast paced. Like you
Pentagon,
know, like better action.
Let me look this up. Pentagon, King Phoenix, and someone else wrestled La Parca, son of La Parca, and some other dude.
L.A. Park.
No, it wasn't L.A. Park. That's a different guy.
L.A. Park is La Parca. That's
La Parca.
Yeah.
And he's like.
Well, because there's L.A. Parca, La Parca, and then there's L.A. Park.
But I think L.A. Park is the original La Parca.
I'm going to look this up right now because this also confuses me very much.
Okay, so. Well, why are you looking?
this thing is not on all the way, so this is very loosey goosey.
I thought you were going to put it into your ass and fart.
No, it's not that. The top part is the loose part.
All right, well, give me a screwdriver. Oh, let me use this Ronnie Burton guitar pick.
Do it, dude. Ronnie Burton is the man. Former guest of the show, friend of the show, whatever.
At least you remember that now.
I thought you meant Cliff Burton. I'm like, what am I going to do with a Cliff Burton pick? I'm like, why do you have that? It was my bad. The Guerreros. Who are we looking up? The team of the...
No, he's looking up the La Parca and the son of La Parca.
The La Parca story. Might as well look up the Vianos while you're at it.
No,
one of them just passed away recently, too.
They all die, don't they? Aren't they up to, like, Viano 7
now? Well, everybody dies, stupid. Well,
that's a good point, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right, let's see.
Very good point.
Bill Nye the Science Guy over here. Everything dies, sir.
Ric Flair got married.
Oh, God, did you see that disgusting...
Tunkus?
Him and Fifi.
Yeah!
Yikes.
Get at it.
Someone pointed out there's a picture of the Taker with Dennis Rodman. Did you notice Taker's two fists in the scotch?
Yeah, listen, you don't become the dead man by...
But I didn't catch it until somebody actually pointed it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that.
It's his yard, man. Of course he can drink whatever he wants. He's the host, even though it was Ric Flair's wedding.
Let's see.
Ric Flair came down the aisle to the Ric Flair drip, didn't he?
I would not be surprised. What is that, by the way?
It's some song that some rap guy made up.
What's it called?
The Ric Flair drip.
I'm going to Google it first.
Oh, we're going to... Ooh, music time. Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, apparently, it's some like video and Ric Flair's name is mentioned in
it. Well, it's popular because it's about Ric Flair. It's the Ric Flair drip.
He's in it, apparently.
Yeah.
There's a commercial. Hold on.
Of course.
Everyone's
trying to make a fucking dollar.
Oh, no, this
Damn
is
it,
the song.
Sorry.
Yeah, he came out to this.
Did he really?
Wedding. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Wow. I can't wait till I'm senile.
He should come out to this on Raw, like, next time he's on.
No.
I bet you Sam likes this.
chopper with the skull, so do not test me, yeah. Rick Flair drip, go woo on a bitch. 5790s, put the cool on a bitch.
All right.
There you go.
Rick Flair drip, go woo on a bitch.
And he's in the video.
Of course he is. He's dripping everywhere.
This is
like, this is like 2018's version of Skeet Skeet, I guess. The Ric Flair drip. Yo, Ric Flair's wearing plaid.
Wow.
All right.
That Ric Flair drip.
I thought we were staying away from these words.
It's the song. It's the Ric Flair drip.
That's
drip,
it.
Drip, drip.
Can't control the drip.
Is there like a hook?
Yes.
Do you have that problem too, where you can't control the drip?
Well, I might have a leaky valve on the back, but it's not a Ric Flair drip.
I got the Tony Z drip. If I blow a fart, I might shit.
Where is there like a, is like, does Ric Flair go nuts with the woozy, or is he just in the video dancing?
No, he just dances, dude.
So he doesn't have a verse in the song. He doesn't rap.
Yeah, he takes his coat off and he drops a few albums. Oh, jeez. All right, we'll
okay,
watch the video.
I don't know. It's not a bad
song.
I'm all
for YKM. We're all over Impact this week.
Yeah.
Let me answer. Yeah, talk about that while I answer this little part.
We didn't watch it. I didn't see it.
You didn't watch it? I watched
Kevin
it.
Kevin watched it. Kevin watched the shit out of it.
It was fun. They started off coming in hot on right in the opening segment with Austin Aries, Moose, who everyone thinks is incredible. Like, so, like, wrestling fans, we make fun of them a lot, but some of them are, whoever came up with the whole, instead of chanting Moose, chanting douche. Like one person, like one person
oh, didn't know,
came
didn't
up
watch.
With that.
Yes.
Like, what, like, I want to know who that one person was.
Is Moose a bad guy now?
Yeah, he's a heel now. He's now with Austin Aries and Killer Khan.
Killer Cross.
Killer Khan.
Killer Khan is back.
Killer Cross.
Killer Cross will make you.
So they have like a little stable, and it was great. Moose comes out, everyone just goes douche with
That's
the Moose motion.
Awesome.
Douche.
You think he's been biding his time all these years as a face just to get to that point where people were chanting douche at him?
I thought he could have been there. I thought he could have been a world champion.
He was kind of a heel in Ring of Honor when he first came in, and at Evolve when he was with the Bravado Brothers. And I was thinking the other day,
I forgot about
what
that.
Happened to the Bravado Brothers? They were such a good tag
yes.
team.
Yes. I called a few of their matches. They were awesome.
All right, so I still don't have an answer to this.
All right, forget it.
It's all right.
La Parca, the original La Parca.
Is L.A. Park.
Is now known as L.A. Park.
Wow. There something we didn't tell you 20 minutes ago.
And then the other guy, he is just La Parca.
Because he had a falling out with the company. The company owned that Park, character, so yes. They put somebody else under
the
it's
hood.
Like, yeah, it's like Sin Cara, the Jace.
Yes.
Whatever. So
Falaba had a title shot against Austin Aries.
He
too,
did.
He did. He was on the show like four different times, at least four different times.
So that title match happened this past week.
Yes, yes. It was a very good match.
I got it on the DVR. I'm gonna have to check that out.
It was a very, very good match. KM cut a nice little heel, not a heel promo, but a promo on Austin Aries and Moose, and then Austin Aries, which is very kind of weird, but he offers Falaba the match. Falaba doesn't challenge him. Austin Aries offers it to him.
That's
I guess
cool.
To maybe like set a trap because they've been kicking everyone's ass over the last few years.
And he kind of picked on Fala's weight.
Yeah, bad
that
guy.
Fala's fat.
Bad man. That's my friend.
And then in the main event, he uses that. Once Fala starts getting on a roll, Austin Aries uses his athleticism to get away from Fala.
So Fala winds up like chasing him around, tires out, that old gag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and then there's, of course, you know, those guys
but it
are
makes
on the
sense.
Outside.
And then they take out KM. I thought they were going to go back in and do, and like, destroy Fala more, but they really, the vicious stuff was done on KM. They did the whole chair, like, over your neck in the post and ram it into the post gimmick.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or did they slam a chair on him?
They've been slamming that. They did it to Eddie Edwards. They did it to Johnny Mundo.
Yeah.
Or Johnny, whatever.
Yes, yeah.
Johnny
Morrison's
Russell?
Name
Impact.
Is this week.
Johnny Impact.
And then they did it to KM. Aries and his...
This part has escaped me. They swung a chair
onto the chair
that was... Yeah.
If we had some Jack's Bone Crunchers and a chair from the playset, we could easily demonstrate.
Yes, we could have.
You guys with the toys again?
Listen.
Again. Why not?
Every week.
What do you need to...
Every week.
Look, they're great for something like this. I mean, it's great to help explain it. A visual.
Crack, break your back.
I actually have some of those yellow. There were yellow, like, Raw's war chairs, and then there were, like, red and black Raw's war chairs that I have.
And the breakaway tables?
I had the breakaway table with the TV monitors that would actually come on top of it.
Yeah.
Ew.
Don't ew it.
He came on top of the chairs.
They came somewhere. On top of the chairs. Electronic monitors.
Oh, I thought he meant Ric Flair drip.
No,
Ric Flair drip on the Hasbro.
Go woo on the Hasbro.
Did you enjoy the pictures from the Ric Flair wedding?
I only saw a handful of them, and that tongue kissing one.
That's the only one I saw. That and the Rodman pic.
Did you didn't see the Michael P.S. Hayes in the?
Oh, I did see that. I did see that.
Good Lord,
God bless that man. That takes balls.
He was wearing like every woman's pajamas that you see like at the Dollar General on a weekday,
or from Silk Stockings. From there back in the day.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like the sweatpants with, like, Juicy on the back, like, wearing, like, Keds with no socks.
Juicy.
There you go.
Wait, he, what?
That's what it looked like. He looked like he was wearing, like female, like pajama, like, out-wearing gym suit kind of clothes.
Listen, I feel like no one is surprised when Michael Hayes shows up wearing whatever he wears.
And not only, look, I know we're picking on Michael Hayes now. That little tiny, like, mustache that he has... Where it's like a little like millimeter over his lip. What is that?
It's a mustache.
You know what I'm talking about? Like it's like the very bottom of his lip, but the rest of his lip is naked.
Is this a flavor saver?
Yeah, it's a soul patch.
No, the soul patch is down here.
That's what you said under his lip.
No, he's saying up here.
Up here. Oh. Under his nose, like at the bottom
of his
lip.
Oh, under his nose. You said under his lip.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Under my lip. Doot, doot, doot.
Kevin likes when I imitate other shows.
Oh, I know. We all do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So back to the end. So I just want to cover the rest of the CMLL show.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
All right. Rush and Barbaro Cavanario, he's like a caveman, they beat Voldar Jr. and Matt Taven when Matt Taven turned on Voldar Jr. Silly Matt Taven forgot that he also gets his head shaved, though, if he loses.
Uh-huh.
So they cut his hair, and then they cut the Voldar Jr. guy's hair.
The Voldar.
The referee was cutting his hair, and he was sticking his hair in his pocket. Is that like a thing? Like if you lose your hair, like the referee who refs the match, like take some of your hair as a keepsake?
Maybe.
Maybe he's going to put it on eBay.
I mean, I get it. Like the hair versus hair thing is like a big deal in Mexico, but like.
So yeah, you could probably make some money off someone's hair in a hair versus hair match down there.
Or you think he just wants to keep it and say like he refereed like Voldar Jr. match?
I could see either one.
Is there a Mexico eBay?
Yeah, isn't it ebay.mx?
Oh, I have no idea.
There's an Espanol one.
Yeah, you just gotta. Isn't there like you just gotta pick your country?
Huh?
Right.
It's like anything else. Sure.
It's like picking your language settings. I'm sure.
Voldar Jr. I love Matt Taven. I think Matt Taven's gonna be a superstar. In Ring of Honor. I don't know if you guys even care to discuss that, but
no, I do. Did you? But you see who? Did you listen to? I was listening to Bruce Pritchard's podcast today, his mailbag, and Conrad asked him who he thinks is going to be the next main guy, and he, without hesitation, said Matt Riddle.
All right.
Oh, of course.
So, like, the next, like, big guy that's going to carry, that's going to be the face of Raw or SmackDown, he thinks Matt Riddle. Matt Taven, I think, could also fit that bill. He says it. He says he has it, and I kind of agree with him. Like, I never really thought about it. But then, like, once I was, like, after he said it, I was just kind of like, I could totally see him being, like, not, again, this name, like, not like a CM Punk type guy, but, like, just, like, maybe like a combo of CM Punk and, like, John Cena, or, like, just, I could definitely see him being the top guy. And I never did until Bruce Pritchard mentioned it on his show.
Sorry, that was me.
You couldn't do this before?
No, I forgot to do this before. I'm an idiot.
Jeez Louise.
Is he calling us or are we calling him?
No, we're calling him.
Calling him in the Sam Roberts studio.
The
primetime Sam Roberts studio.
What? I can't figure out how to dial this thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Where's the
Christ,
dial pad?
Fucking...
Where's the dial pad, Matt?
All right, you're going to go.
See, this is what I'm talking
See
about.
See the little dots up there?
This shit, like, updated on me.
No, not that one.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Just close the thing that says search Skype.
Okay, close that.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, why would it do that to me?
I don't know. Why would you mash a bunch of buttons with your fat fingers?
All right. I have to see if this works. So do you guys just talk and ignore anything you might hear?
You have to see if what works.
Right, so what do you want to go back to, Matt?
Well, I mean, we got like 2 minutes before we're calling Sam.
That's a good point. But a point of note while we jump all over the place is the fraternity right? They made they had a match on
LAX, right?
Yep. That was a fun match. So it was good to see Channing Decker.
So was the Lucha Brothers against the truck driver guys.
Oh, the Kevin Garifo Truckers.
Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of the truck drivers asked for his release, and he got it from Impact.
Caleb?
No, Andrew Everett.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
So that's breaking Tony's heart over here.
I thought he was already gone from the Kevin
Wait, was he
truckers.
One of the Kevin Garifo Truckers?
He was early.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was him and Trevor Lee and Shane Helms was their manager.
So what have they been doing with him anyway, you know?
He hasn't really been on TV since that stuff kind of ended, so...
I'm going to do a test real quick, so just sing along. I just want to make sure it's coming through. Okay, it's coming through.
We've been doing this for 7 years.
We are.
For 7 years! Been here for 7 years. Nothing works.
Nothing works! For the show. All right, I'm going to call.
As I fucking drop the microphone again.
We're live from Studio A.
Here, you want to switch? You want to hear? Take my.
No, it's fine. Take my mic, please.
Jesus Christ.
It's fine.
Give me my mic. Turn my mic on.
It's fine.
Oh, jeez, Louis. Should I read his number out loud?
No.
So
no. What are you fucking?
You've done that gimmick before, that bit.
I hate this thing that there's no audio control. Yeah, exactly.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Beep,
all right, beep. Hopefully we get Sam. Let's see if this works.
You're doing this.
Podcast in the world.
All right, we're back. Maybe we called too early?
Hello.
Hey, is this Primetime Sam Roberts?
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the last, only, and greatest professional broadcaster. You can listen to him live every morning on SiriusXM Radio, the Jim Norton Sam Roberts Show, and I almost stuttered there. Of course, the Not Sam Wrestling Podcast, Mr. Not Sam himself, Sam Roberts. What's the haps, brother? How you been?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys? It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, and I apologize right off the bat, but your Facebook page sort of misguided me, and two of the three of us, were a little depressed that we thought your days with WWE were over. I'm glad to hear that's not the case, but in fairness, you hung a picture out there where you were kind of sad to be leaving with the WWE logo behind you, and about 100 people commented that maybe your time was done, and you never responded.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I always do stuff. I hate the internet. I always do stuff that, like, I do it wrong, and then people misunderstand, and then I get overwhelmed and just say, oh, forget it. Because, yeah, you definitely were not the first people. That's why I responded right away, because you were definitely not the first person. You emailed me, but I saw in the comments, like, people started going, oh, are you done? Oh, and I was like, what? I didn't say I was done. I was just leaving the Performance Center. I was just leaving Orlando, and I guess I didn't realize. So I was... And you can go on the Not Sam on Instagram and you can see it if you haven't seen the photo. But I was trying to keep the sun out of my eyes with my hand. And it looked like I was saluting, like almost to say, you know, goodbye to like a ship sailing away. And I totally saw it after people started going. Like there was, if you go through the comments, there's a comment from a guy at WWE, one of the guys who does the costumes and stuff, who goes like, oh man, we're gonna have to find new ways to chop it up. And I'm like, no, dude, I'll see you at one of the next pay per views. I'm not leaving.
So literally, it was like Murphy's Law. Everything that could have possibly gone wrong with that post went wrong with that post with your hand and the caption and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought people would be like, so in my head, I go like, okay, I'm gonna keep it a little vague because I was there for 2K19. But there are like NDAs. We're not supposed to talk about every, you know, for the game and all this stuff. So we're not even supposed to talk about everything that we saw down there yet as it pertains to the game. But I figure, oh, people will be like, whoa, what's Sam doing at the Performance Center? He must be doing something else with WWE. And instead it was like, oh, I guess Sam's leaving WWE. But no, what?
Now, Sam, I got to ask you a question. I send out a lot of emails trying to get interviews, and all of my subject matter says interview podcast request. Tony over here, I don't know, come back home is the subject. What do you ever read these things or you just open them and look at them? Because I could not stop making fun of him for this ridiculous subject line.
I thought it was weird because I was like, you know, I like you guys, and I've definitely, you know, obviously I've done the show before and worked with you guys at like at Pat Buck shows and stuff like that. But I was like, come back home, like that's okay. But then, like, what if you hadn't, I might have blown it off or push it to another week or something if the content of the email hadn't been, hey, I saw you left WWE, like, let's talk about it. And I was like, one, you guys were very nice about it. You weren't like, hey, let's get all the dirt and blah, blah, blah. It was just like, hey, let's talk about your experience. But number two, I was like, I got to do this podcast because I'm not – it's not true. It's not true, and they're not the only ones that think that, and clearly this is my fault.
Well, I think we're all happy to hear that you didn't get let go by the WWE.
I did not.
We talked about it earlier in the show. How are you dealing with the fact that it just seems like between like you and Peter Rosenberg, like people just hate you guys for being on the pre-show?
Wow. All right.
They
get hate.
They get a lot of hate on Twitter, and I don't understand it. And we talked about it earlier because you guys are just two fans that are like living your dream and you worked hard for it. You weren't like just handed it. Like, do you even pay attention to that nonsense?
No, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, I think that a lot of it comes from other fans are like, well, that seems amazing. You can look at it from two perspectives, right? You could see what me and Peter do and go like, oh my God, that's amazing, you know, that these opportunities that never existed before now exist in general. Two of our guys made it. That's just good for all of us. Like, this is amazing. They're from outside the WWE. They're just coming in to do this. It's just it's just a super cool thing. And I think any like 30 seconds of research into who I am would lead people to believe that, like, you know, I'm a lifetime fan. I'm as big a fan as anybody could ever possibly imagine. Like, there's no sort of phoniness about any of this. But the other side of the coin is people are going to be more negative and go, well, I don't know. I'm a fan. Why can't I do that? Well, I don't think he worked harder than me. I don't understand. I should be on the show. And if I were on the show, my opinion would be way better and my blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, like I get that. It's not like a successful person generally doesn't think that way, doesn't think the negative way. Like, those aren't the people that in the long run end up succeeding anyway. But no, I mean, what I do is I do the shows and I don't check my Twitter mentions really. Like, I'll scroll through and like real quick, not reading them. And if there's – I shouldn't even be telling this secret because now all the people who hate me are going to just do this. But – I look for the ones with photos because I'll retweet those, or sometimes I want to save the screen grabs or whatever. So I'll read the ones with photos attached, but I wish I hadn't said that because now you could just say something awful and attach a photo and I'll still read it. But other than that, exactly. Other than that, I don't really read them. And also, you know, it's important when you're doing stuff like this, that Twitter, and you guys know because you guys are just as massive as fans as I am. Like, when you get to do something like this in life that you never thought you would get there in this context, you know what I mean? And when you get to do something like this, you can't let something as sort of trivial and fickle as Twitter take that away. Like, you have to, like, I tend to stay in the moment and look around the arena and watch the show and wander around backstage and look for like a quiet space to just kind of sit and be there. And it's every show. I mean, it's been almost 2 years now and it's still every show I do this stuff where I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't, none of the rest of it matters because, like, oh my God, this is happening.
You mentioned being backstage working with them. You know, you've been on air with WWE, like you said, for 2 years. What's the process for you? Do they give you a run sheet and say, you know, like, these are the points we want you to hit and go out there and have a ball? Or are you, like, heavily managed? Like, what's the experience like for you when you're on the air?
No, there's definitely – I'm not managed really at all. It's more just, you know, there's a script for all the shows. But the script is a format in the sense that, okay, we're going to spend about 2 minutes talking about this. We're going to go into this package, and then this guest is going to come on, and then we're going to go to this match, and then we're going to spend 2 minutes talking about that. And that's more to make sure that the timing and the pacing of the show works. But when it comes down to, or like, you know, there's going to be this graphic package here. So when we're, you know, running down the matches of the night, obviously we know that that's coming. But when it comes to like just breaking down the matches, you've got 2 minutes to talk about Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. That's the direction. You got 2 minutes to talk about it. So talk about it. And that's why I'm there. I think that's why Peter's there too, is because, you know, we're broadcasters, but we're also mega fans. We're going to have opinions. We're going to be able to speak from the fan perspective that is our perspective. You know, you can't speak for everybody, but so it's more just formatting, well, really. And once it comes down to opinions, say whatever you want.
And Sam, you actually totally jumped the gun with my next question, because it definitely comes across the difference between you and Peter, as opposed to like a Booker T or David Otunga or a Koshman, who were, you kind of get the feeling, are there to hype up, you know, the event or the certain match, where you guys provide insight that literally is like, wow, I'm thinking that. Like, I can't believe WWE is like, not that I can't believe they're letting them say that, but it's just like not something you would hear from like a JBL or something like that. So in that respect, it's definitely refreshing. Is that something that you guys wanted to go in with?
Yeah, I'm glad that comes across that, actually. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, like for me, I can't speak for Peter. I don't know how he looks at it or anything, but yes, the idea from the beginning, and you know, it's a learning curve, because at first it's like, you know, oh my God, I'm here, I don't want to screw up, I don't want to do this, and it takes a little bit of time, you know, for everybody to get comfortable in roles that they're in. But yeah, that's the idea, right? Like, the idea is, it's the same really as commentary, in the sense that everybody has a role. Like, there's a reason for being. The reason Booker T is on those panels is because he, as a Hall of Famer, as a guy who's been in the ring, as a guy who shared the locker room, as a guy who's wrestled every conceivable type of match, he is able to share an insight from that perspective. You know, whether it's Coachman or Renee, these are like highly skilled broadcasters, hosts, people that are there to present the product, people that are there to move the show along, people that are there to explain the stories and the WWE side of things. And then, you know, me and Peter and I are there to give the perspective of somebody who's watching at home. Like, and I know I specifically, and you almost have to work against it. The instinct is to go in and try to act like Sean Mooney or any other, you know,
who?
Broadcaster from WWE that you grew up watching. But the reality is that the WWE is in this amazing place where they actually want people like me and Rosenberg and Pat McAfee, if right. You've watched the NXT shows, they want us to not be WWE types. They want us to, they want that reaction that you just described, where it's not so much like, oh my God, edgy, I can't believe he said that, but I can't believe he said that in the sense that this isn't the WWE verbiage or storyline or set point that I'm used to. This sounds more like a fan who watches at home, which is what I am.
And from that perspective, fan watching at home, Hell in a Cell Sunday, overall, what did you think of the show?
Overall, I thought it was very good. I think WWE, and, you know, unfortunately, I found myself in a situation where I can never compliment WWE publicly, because that means that, you know, somebody's paying me to say it or something, which is hilarious, because I, you know, was nonstop complimentary to WWE for like 25 years before I got any WWE gig. But I thought it was really good. And I think WWE is finding a great rhythm in these dual brand pay-per-views that are not Big Four. You know what I mean? I think the, like, Backlash, the first one, was a little rough. But as they've progressed, they've gotten better and better. And there were a lot of really good matches at Hell in a Cell. I thought the Randy Orton-Jeff Hardy match was really amazing. And for the era that we're in, super, super brutal. I thought the Shield Ziggler McIntyre tag match was amazing. I love the storyline that's happening, the slow storyline that's happening with Daniel Bryan and The Miz and Maryse and Brie Bella. I liked the Braun Strowman Roman Reigns match. I liked Ziggler and Rollins and Ambrose and all those guys on top of the Cell. I thought that was a great visual. I thought that was really cool. I liked Brock Lesnar returning, just because you didn't expect it, and ripping off the door and everything. I did not like the non-finish. It felt like, even though SummerSlam had a finish, the fact that Braun had come out to cash in and then didn't cash in, it felt like when I watched SummerSlam, I left a little incomplete, and it felt like the last note of Hell in a Cell was a little bit incomplete, which I don't think should take away from the entire show, because the entirety of the show was good, but I did feel incomplete leaving.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I thought the show overall was really good, too. I'm not the biggest Brock Lesnar fan, and I hate that he was back so soon. I don't know. I just felt like he was just like he was there forever, but he wasn't really there, and he was the champion, and now he's out the door, and Roman Reigns is defending the title against like Finn, and he's involved in this great storyline with the Shield and these guys. And, like, you can't even get a month before, like, Brock Lesnar's back in the picture. And I get it because they're going to Saudi Arabia and they want to bring Brock in for this grand triple threat thing. But I don't know. It kind of put a damper on the pay-per-view for me personally. I can't speak for Kevin and Tony.
But, I mean, it was just the ending. I mean, everything else up to that point was really good, I thought. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. Oh, and I hate Ronda Rousey's face.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Here we go.
Just, like, because when she comes out, she's, like, real, like, giddy and goofy. Like, if they could just, like, transport her to the ring where she's got, like, her mean girl face on, then I'm okay with that. But, like...
So you don't like, you don't like the idea... Because I think what they're trying to get across is that Ronda is this super fan, and she's so happy to be there, but when it comes time for the brass tacks, when it comes time for business, that's when she can get mean. And normally, you know, Ronda is this happy-go-lucky, having fun girl... But you don't want to get on her bad side. You're not buying into that so much.
Well, shouldn't she want to be like brass tacks going into the match, defending her title against the girl that just kicked her in the stomach and banged her ribs up like 5 days ago? Like, why is she all happy to be going into the match? She should be like game face on the minute she comes out. Afterwards, be as happy as you want. Just go in. I don't know. I just, and her hair and the makeup, it's just a lot for me. I might be like overanalyzing it way too much.
You know what it is? She's a UFC star in the mold of Brock Lesnar, so right away you expect her to be a badass 24/7. And for me personally, bad reputation's got to go. She needs some better badass music. I think that would change the way she acts, the way her persona is. I think that's a step in the right direction right there. That bad reputation's like just like too poppy.
Thoughts on that, Sam?
Well, I don't think that WWE wants her to be Brock Lesnar, and I don't know if she wants to be Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't think that this is the female Brock Lesnar, especially based on the fact that she wrestles a lot. You know what I mean? This isn't sort of a, hey, we have the UFC's Ronda Rousey. I don't think Ronda's going back to the UFC. Like, I don't think this is going to be one of those sort of back-and-forth deals. I think that Ronda started in the UFC, but I think that the WWE is branding her as a WWE superstar, and they're taking the star power that she built and using it to make her a face, if not the face, of this women's evolution movement. So I think that they also – she's a good guy, and Brock Lesnar's a bad guy. So they want this idea of Ronda Rousey still should be a role model for young girls. You know, Ronda Rousey still should be – at the children's hospitals and still should be somebody who a young girl can look at in the audience, right? And not go, oh my God, this is a monster. This is something other than human. I don't know what that is. Like, you don't look at Brock Lesnar and go, one day I'm going to be like Brock Lesnar. You go, that is some other species. I don't understand what it is. And it's something else entirely. You could cheer it, you could do it, but it's an it. It's something different. Whereas Ronda Rousey, and I think that's why she comes out and smiles when she comes out, because she's like, oh, my God, look at all these people that are here. Because I think there is a concerted effort going on to fully humanize her so that she is not Brock Lesnar. But you do bring up a good point in the sense that maybe we've been conditioned to, you know, treat UFC stars the way we treat Brock Lesnar. And so there's this expectation that that's what Ronda should be doing. And when she's not, it's kind of weird, right?
I think that anyone that has a reputation one way or the other prior to coming into WWE, like you said, it kind of makes us conditioned to accept them for what they were before they got here.
Well, let me build on that real quick. In fairness, when she came in for WrestleMania, she was billed as a badass. When she had that face down with Stephanie...
She was in a feud with the owners of the company.
But she was also portrayed as a badass. Now she's like completely done like that
But does anyone not believe that Ronda Rousey's still not a badass?
Kind of hard to when she's always smiling and giggling.
Like, you can't tell me that people that know this don't think that she's still not a badass.
And I don't think that that's true because, you know, all of her matches... She has that moment where it, like, snaps. You know what I mean? She's not not happy-go-lucky all the time. It's, she's happy-go-lucky when she walks to the ring, but once the match starts, she's not happy-go-lucky. And then somewhere in the match, if there's serious offense being put upon her, you know, if she's in the defensive position and something pisses her off, then she goes full Shamrock and you know, becomes the world's most dangerous woman all of a sudden. And, you know, that happened at the pay-per-view.
Absolutely. And I'm going to switch gears, if you guys don't mind, to the AJ Styles Samoa Joe match. I don't know if you guys touched on this when I stepped away. What were your thoughts on, I mean, obviously the match itself, I think we can all agree, was fantastic. And the fact that we're seeing these two guys, and Peter Rosenberg touched on that in the kickoff show in WWE on this stage for the WWE Championship, is something that I think we all never thought we'd see. Thoughts on that match and the tap pin finish that was overlooked?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, and I talked to Joe about this on the podcast before SummerSlam, what I love about this feud is that it goes beyond what you said, what Peter said on the pre-show. It's not like the AJ Styles Nakamura match at WrestleMania. That was the match that was like, and it was billed that way. Okay, you know, this was in the Tokyo Dome, but we never thought it would be at a WrestleMania. The Samoa Joe AJ Styles match could be sold on this level of, we never thought it would be for the WWE Championship, but instead is being sold on this really great story that feels personal and feels interesting and portrays Samoa Joe as an absolute heel and AJ Styles as an absolute face. And it's this WWE story that these two guys are involved in that circulates around the WWE Championship, which I feel like adds several layers to this, to these series of matches that make it even better. I like the finish. You know, I was talking, another thing I talked to Joe about at the Performance Center, I didn't eat with him, hasn't aired yet, but it will. And I said that it's really interesting because at SummerSlam, the disqualification finish, a lot of times, and it's happened very, very recently, it is to have a disqualification finish in a title match, especially WWE Championship, can be like super frustrating. You're watching and kind of like, you know, what happened at Hell in a Cell in the Universal title match where you're like, I really wanted to finish here. It was for the title and you know, something was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But the story at SummerSlam, it made it so that the disqualification finish made sense and you were interested in what comes next. And you heard that in the collective gasp of the audience when Joe was on the announcer's table yelling at AJ's wife and saying, like, I'll be your new daddy. And then AJ Styles comes out, and of course, like, yeah, we bought into it. Any man is going to defend his wife and forget about the match. We buy into it. I don't think anybody is going to sit there and say the match at Hell in a Cell wasn't amazing, because it was awesome. And I like that finish, too, because you sit there and you're like, you can't have – the minute you have a clean finish in this rivalry, it's settled. You, a guy can't sit there – and make comments about your family once you've beaten them. Like, once you've beaten them, it's over. And I go, but I don't want to see another disqualification, right? I don't want to see another non-finish. So I love the idea that AJ walks out, the good guy wins, he's still the champion, but Joe's right. If the referee had been in a different position, Joe would have been the champion. He's entitled to his rematch, and it makes me feel, not only do I want to see a third match, but it's this idea that we've now established that Joe can beat AJ Styles, which wasn't established before. So I actually thought the finish was really, really great.
And I think what really put it over the top was the fact that Samoa Joe was selling it like it was finally his big victory over AJ. You know, he had the look, almost like a tear in his eye. And then when they said, and still, like, he just snapped and he turned. And he was like, what? It was perfect. Perfect selling by him at that point. Absolutely.
He's an amazing performer, Samoa Joe. He's just on all levels. He's maybe better now than he's ever been. It's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, and they just brutalized each other. It was a pretty brutal matchup. I know we only got you for another few minutes, but I wanted to ask you, will Sam Roberts be heading over to Saudi Arabia?
I haven't been asked to as of today, but I would in a heartbeat. Yeah, definitely, I would.
Do you need us to put in a word for you?
Yeah, if you could. I mean, if you could let them know that my calendar's open. I think that would be amazing to do. But, yeah, so So as of today, I haven't been invited, but should the skills of the last professional broadcaster be needed, I will be there with bells on.
Well, you know, there's something that we do need from you, Sam.
Oh, he's doing it. Uh-oh.
I am doing this because this
can't
is
even let the guy
Sam.
Go.
Sam, look. you can't get. I can't get heat for this when I see you at WrestlePro. This is all Matt.
Don't worry, I don't go to the WrestlePro shows. Cause I'm always working. Sam, like 5 years ago, we gave you a T-shirt, and I badgered the shit out of you on Twitter. You were like our highest profile guest, and all I wanted was a picture of you in a T-shirt, and we never got that, Sam.
No.
And you probably don't even have the T-shirts. Probably you use it to clean up baby vomit now.
I'm literally in my head. I'm going, where would that T-shirt be? Because I remember the drawer I put it in, but then I moved.
The trash drawer.
No.
Yeah. Garbage tracker. Because what I would do now as a goof, if I knew where the shirt was, I would show up at the next WrestlePro show in one of your shirts. I'm going to try to find it before I go to the next show, just to shock and surprise you, just so after 5 years, because I feel like right now I'm a dick, but like if after 5 years, like even if it takes 5 or 6 years, I'm still a good guy if I pull through, right?
Absolutely. And definitely not a dick, just ball busting. You're a very busy man. NotSam.com is Sam's website. At NotSam is his Twitter account. Sam,
and if you
also,
want to, if you want to support him, Patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. Sorry,
yeah,
I did some
research
too.
Yeah, tomorrow on patreon.com/NotSamWrestling, I'm putting up my video of the tour of the Performance Center that I was on. I'll be sharing that with all the NotSam shills at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling.
Beautiful.
And Sam was not let go by WWE. Let's make sure we have that clear.
No, I'm still there. I'll be at, you know, one of – there's all these shows happening. I don't know which shows I will be at as this year progresses. But I will be at shows.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
That's it.
And if you guys have Sirius XM, channel 103 every morning, 8 o'clock, you can also listen to Sirius XM On Demand. The Jim and Sam show, Sam Roberts and Jim Norton, they are doing a show every day with
Happy birthday, Mark Norman, by the way, there, Sam.
Oh, I didn't know. Yes, happy birthday to Mark Norman.
There it is.
Happy birthday, Sam.
Yes, happy birthday, Sam.
Happy birthday, Sam.
Sam, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'd love to have you back on a lot sooner than later, because I think we only scratched the surface with you talking wrestling, and it's been a pleasure and an honor as fans of yours forever. So we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'll do it again sooner than 5 years from now.
Thanks, Sam.
All right,
thanks,
I'll talk
Sam.
To you later.
Be good, man.
That was a receipt.
Prime time. You know I was going to bring it up. I said I was going to bring it up.
I really thought you had forgotten about it or you were going to let it go.
I've forgotten about it. I'm the fucking T-shirt miser. I chase people down.
No, like I legit thought you were going to let it go because everything was going so well.
And when Tony said he was going to wrap it up, I thought that was it.
Oh, no. You weren't wrapping it up without me bringing that up. And look, if he fucking finds the shirt and shows up at WrestlePro, that's awesome. It's hysterical. At this point, it's just a running gag. But I had to bring it up.
This is longer running than the Drew Gulak Tony shirt gag.
Yeah, it is.
It is, probably.
We're going to have Sam come hide here and then threaten the beach.
Dude, he's a smart dude when it comes to, like, I mean, I guess he's been around it now, like the machine, I guess, for so long now that he gets it.
But that was the first thing I realized about him when we first had him on the show. Like, just the way he was analyzing, it was the entire Zack Ryder, Eva Marie storyline. He had everything nailed perfectly. I'm like, this guy, he 100%
gets it. And he brought up points that, like, I asked, like, kind of like a softball question where about the finish in itself, about how people tend to not like screwy stuff like that. And he totally threw me, he hit the ball out of the park with his response in terms of how the angle was set up and how, yeah, if AJ were to pin Joe clean, then what the fuck do I care about? Not anymore.
Which
is like traditional wrestling, like 101, I guess. But you just didn't think about it, like until he made it a point, and it was very well said. Everything he had to say was very well said.
Yeah, Sam's a good guy. As much as I like to bust his balls about the T-shirt, and he knows what he's talking about. It's 20 minutes goes real fast.
Yeah,
no kidding.
When you start talking about professional wrestling,
and he read my email. And he was impressed on how professional it sounded. So fuck all
please
y'all.
Please come home.
Please come home. Oh. You couldn't have picked like
a, I didn't say please come
please
home.
Please come home,
Sammy. The headline of the email was please come home.
No, it wasn't please come please. Home. It was come back home.
Whatever, Shaggy. Douche.
Please come home is begging. Come back home
douche.
Is a demand.
Douche. Douche. But hey, douche. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. To Tony's credit.
Thank you.
What? This was like a perfect snowball of misfortune people reading situations. Sam totally thought that his post was harmless in terms of like what people would get out of it. And Tony capitalized on that and he put his thing in there. And Sam said, admittedly, he would have brushed it off if it wasn't such a stupid headline.
Oh, come on. He didn't say stupid headline.
It's our story. It was a stupid headline.
Look, we got Sam within like 10 minutes. He was literally reading the email. Like, as I hit the send button, whoosh. It went right to him, and he got right back to me.
Douche.
That's
douche.
Whoosh.
Douche.
Do you want to do a round of plugs?
I can do a round of plugs if you need me to.
All right. All right. Time
we get
for
up
Matt.
Some plug music.
You need plug music?
No, I hate that. Stop. I hate no. Stop. You play the same shitty. We gotta change it up.
I haven't had a chance to add music.
I know. So don't hit the fucking quack like a duck.
You want Steve Blackman?
Don't. No, I don't want Steve Blackman. No one's ever wanted Steve Blackman.
Ah, look at this hot little Sam Roberts just with the retweet. Thank you, Sam.
Oh boy.
Yeah, maybe while I do the plugs, you can send him an email and thank him. What is that? Turn that off.
Snoop.
I don't want Snoop. Can you?
That would have been awesome plug music.
I got better plug music. Just chill your bones.
I don't care. I don't care.
No, because you're not doing the plugs. I am.
Oh, Jesus.
You
more commercials?
Douche.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at Zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Bryant Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No. It's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Douche.
All right.
Douche.
You ready? Here we go. I'm going to hit you with some plugs. Maybe you send Primetime a little email.
Well, thank you, Sam. Please come home. I got to go take a piss. Leave me alone.
All right,
it's
well,
plug
time. Don't piss out your asshole.
Great. You made me wait for the Hollywood Blonde slash Jim.
I like
Nine,
the shut
Jim,
your mouth.
Neidhart slash
go
Greg
away
Valentine
so I can do the plugs, man, so we can get back to our show. We still got to talk about Hell in the Cell and Raw.
I
got to
talk more about Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I agree.
We're going to start with our friends over at WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com. Follow them on Twitter, at WrestlePro. Friday, October 19th, they return to Brooklyn, New York, St. Pat's, CYO Sports, 9511 4th Avenue. Chris Payne, Chris Avery Kewling, Bobby Wayward, Team Espana, The Bodies, and much more will be in action. Friday, November 9th, they return to Rahway, New Jersey, 275 East Milton Ave at the Rahway Rec Center. Already booked, Joey Janela against Super Crazy.
Wow.
Scarlett Bordeaux against Christian Statlander. Plus, TJ Wilson, The Nasty Boys, Duke the Dumpster Drossy, and Zeus, the Human Wrecking Machine, will be signing autographs. So get your tickets at WrestlePROOnline.com. Creator Pro Wrestling, creatorprowrestling.com, at Creator Pro on the Twitter, Sunday, October 28th, Sunday Fun Day at the Creator Pro Wrestling Academy, 95 Engineers Drive, Hicksville, New York. Bear Bronson, the Shook Crew, and all your favorites from Creator Pro will be in action. Get your tickets at creatorprowrestling.com. Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com, our brothers to the north in Toronto, Canada, at Smash Wrestling on Twitter. September 23rd, the London Vacation at the London Music Hall in London, Canada. Halal Beefcake, Dylan Andrews, Violet Lee, PCO, Tarek, Scotty O'Shea, Kevin Blackwood, Tyson Dukes, and more. Get your tickets now, smash-wrestling.com. Standalone Wrestling, standalonewrestling.com. Their next show, as soon as they announce it, we'll have information for you on that. In the meantime, follow them on the Twitter at Saw Pro Wrestling. House of Glory, HOGWrestling.net, at HOGWrestling on the Twitter machine. This Saturday night, Chapter 3 at the Queensboro Elks Lodge. LAX defends the Hog Tag Championships against OVE. MJF takes on Cashflow Kenny Broadway. The House of Gongone takes on Private Party and more. Get your tickets at HOGWrestling.net. Next up, our friends over at Pro Wrestling is Magic. Coming off of an awesome show this weekend, WrestlingIsMagic.com. That's where you want to go to get your tickets for Creatures of the Night, October 13th at the Knights of Columbus in in Richfield Park, New Jersey.
Where else?
At Wrestling Magic on Twitter. That's where you want to follow them, guys. Battle Club Pro, BattleClubPro.com. Their 2-year anniversary show, Trial by Combat, October 20th. The Knights of Columbus in Richfield Park, New Jersey. Darius Carter's in action. Jimmy Havoc, Maria Mania, Brody King, Matt McIntosh, Anthony Green, Harlow O'Hara, and much more. BattleClubPro.com for tickets at xBattleClubPro on the Twitter machine. Capital Wrestling, CapitalWrestling.com, at Capital Wrestling on Twitter. These guys are doing a ton of things on Twitch, so keep tabs on them there. As soon as they announce their next show, we will let you know. Wrestling Has a Tomorrow, WrestlingHasATomorrow.com. What 7 this Sunday, September 23rd, the FET Music Hall, Providence, Rhode Island. Sanchez, Pinky, T. takes on Kenny Broadway. KC Navarro takes on Sammy Callahan. Matt Cross, AR Fox, JT Dunn, Jessica Havoc, the Main State Posse in a tag team gauntlet. We had them on last week. You want to check out? We had Aiden Agro from the Main State Posse. Wrestling has it tomorrow.com.
I asked him,
tickets.
I said, Aiden, how's your garden? He goes, I grow tomatoes, I grow cucumbers, I grow lettuce.
Oof. That was a rough one.
I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
All right, a couple more plugs, and then we can get back to talking about pro wrestling. Limitless Wrestling at limitlesswrestling.com is the website at LW Main. September 21st, this Friday night, Pretenders Beware, the 3-year anniversary show. They just announced today, Main State Posse takes on Free to Think. The Thick Boys take on Whiskey Dick. Plus, Ace Romero takes on JT Dunn, Josh Briggs, Brody King, I don't want this to play, whatever this is.
Want me to
whatever
play
this is. No. No, we'll play this again, I guess. I don't know. I should have had this ready. Oh, my God. Shake it up. Yeah, that's fine. That'll do. Limitlesswrestling.com. The Wrestling Revolver at PW Revolver on Twitter. ProWrestlingRevolver.com. Tales from the Ring, October 20th. West Des Moines, Iowa at the Vol Air Ballroom. BCO takes on Walter. Marco Stunt, Jimmy Jacobs, JT Dunn, David Starr, and many more. Go over to ProWrestlingRevolver.com for all our friends out in the Midwest. Combat Zone Wrestling, CZWrestling.com is your website. As soon as they announce their next show, we'll let you know. Innovative Pro, at Innovative Pro _ on the Twitter machine. It only takes three. Sunday, October 21st, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey at the Knights of Columbus. These guys have been designing some sick comic book type posters to promote the show. I highly recommend you check it out at Innovative Pro on the Twitter. Nick Gage, JT Dunn, Danny Moff, Jimmy Havoc, Joe Gacy, Mark Haskins, the Ugly Ducklings versus the Awakening at Innovative Pro _ on Twitter. Rise Wrestling at Rise _ Wrestling. Rise is spelled R-Y-S-E. RiseWrestling.com is the website. October 6th, The Stronghold in Lamont Furnace, Pennsylvania. David Lawless takes on Brandon Kay in a lumberjack match and much more. Go to RiseWrestling.com. And last but not least, the XWA. The official XWA.com is the website. September 22nd, XWA Fallout in West Warwick, Rhode Island. Three-way dance, JT Dunn defends against Brian Cage and Matt Cross. Plus, Ace Austin, Darby Allin, Austin Theory, AR Fox, Sammy Callahan, Paul London. This will be on Powerbomb TV, I think, as well. So check that out, officialxwa.com, at the official XWA on Twitter. That is the plugs. I am winded. I've done a lot worse with the plugs, so I'm pretty proud of myself there.
No, you did a good job. It's all good.
Holy free holy. So I'm sweating like a watermelon at a Baptist barbecue down here.
Really?
Oof, Jesus, it's hot, man. It's humid. I'm very sweaty.
I don't know.
What,
The soundboard, like, whenever you click it, it automatically kicks it up like 5%, so you can't get like a really good fade. It's
kick
like
it up a notch.
It's kind of jackass.
Bang! Kick it up a notch.
Bang! All
right. So we're back from break. We also have the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardnetwork.com, home to a bunch of great shows. Go over there, check it out.
Yes. Yeah!
I'm not going through all that nonsense
right now.
Sorry. So Hell in the Cell. Kevin, you said it was an amazing show.
I enjoyed it very
much. Earlier in the day, and I told you to save it for tonight.
Earlier in the night.
And I can't disagree. Amazing might be a strong word. It was a very good show.
Before I sent that text, I was tempted to say that I thought that it may have been the best main roster pay-per-view this year.
I think that's a fair statement.
The tag title match for Raw?
Well, yeah, the other one was on the pre-show.
Yes. That was an awesome match. I would give that the full Monty.
I don't think there was a bad... Like I said, the only thing that I really didn't like was the Brock Lesnar thing. And that's just from a personal standpoint.
You know what?
What are you saying well about? I got to get up and pee.
The traditionalist in me gets, and we talked about that with Sam Roberts. The traditionalist in me gets why people might not like Brock Lesnar coming back and the non-finish. But to me, it was... And while some people might not give a fuck about the surprise, to me, of Brock Lesnar coming back and like the majorness, I guess, for lack of a better word,
majorness
of it, kind of made it okay that the match didn't have a finish.
I disagree. I totally agreed with Matt's point. Brock Lesnar coming back a month after like his big loss of the championship just kind of put a sour note on it. I also was not a fan.
I can't see you.
I was also what's his dick had to go piss.
No, that was like that on all show.
Was it?
Well, no, it definitely wasn't. Yeah. Actually, you're right.
Old tubby belly over here moving things around. you saw that. Like, he tried to sashay past it. He just moved
like
the whole thing.
Wasn't that like a kid show? Tubby bellies?
Yes.
The tubby bellies?
Weren't they gay? Like, not trying to...
One of them was gay.
Was his name Maddie?
You see Bert and Ernie are gay now? They finally revealed it.
You know what? First of all...
They finally revealed it.
Yeah, who revealed it? Some cocksucker who... I didn't mean it that way, but...
Oof. Let's try to be more professional, guys.
Sorry. Breaking news. No, dude, Jim Henson would have never come out and said that Bert and Ernie were gay. You know what I'm saying?
Come out.
Oh, gee.
Tony is hitting on everything.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But he did like three in a row.
Oof. It was... Ugh. Anyway... Let me take it back. Okay.
All right, we're going to sidetrack on Bert and Ernie now.
Dude, the Muppets are asexual, except for, like, Kermit and Miss Piggy. You know what I'm saying? Like...
You don't know. I mean, Animal's clearly not asexual. He humps everything that moves.
Animal humps things?
How did I get up leaving the conversation on Hell in a Cell, and now you're talking about...
Because we made fun of you
the
being...
The sexuality of puppets! They're not real!
You have to go back and listen.
Jeez Louise, and then you're over here saying cocksucker and coming out and fucking Jesus.
So we're trying to clean up the show. What happened?
Yeah.
Right? That was...
It all started with Matt going to take a piss.
You have AIDS.
It's really, really, really?
Great. Good one.
Really?
I mean, you might as well just hit it off. Jesus, Christmas on a cracker. What match didn't you like?
I didn't like the main event.
Okay.
I thought
fair.
There was a whole lot of laying around after the table spot.
They fell through a table.
They were laying around for enough time for four people to climb the cage, fight on the cage, climb down the cage, fall off the cage. Like, it was like, really, it was like overbooked nonsense.
I love that. You didn't know it was going to be bells and whistles in this match?
Dude, the fall, it just looks so contrived and planned.
Are we burying the lead in terms of the new Cell?
I kind of don't like it. I think it's way too tall.
Matt doesn't care.
They painted it red. Gives a shit.
Yeah.
No, it was a different Cell.
Like visual though. What did you like visually? Did you think it impaired? Did you think it?
It was way too tall for my liking. Like, I just thought it was ginormously big for no reason.
It wasn't. Oh, I thought it looked the same size.
No,
it was,
I guarantee you, it was a taller Cell.
Guarantee. That's pretty.
Why
serious.
Would they? Why would they do that?
I don't know. You made Ambrose, you made Rollins and Dolph Ziggler over there fall off the side of it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I
could have done without that spot because we've seen that spot a million times.
It's like, how many times do you have to have overbooked nonsense? But it reminds me of Hogan with the NWO days where the main events were all just people getting involved and nothing happening.
But I didn't hate that because these guys are all major players on the show and it is a no DQ match, so why not? If you're going to do it, why not do it in this match when there's no repercussions or consequences
for
it?
Well, then if there were no repercussions or consequences, why don't they just have the 3-on-3? You know what I'm saying?
Because they had to save that for Australia, mate.
Oh, boy.
And you even, while Braun Strowman is beating down Roman Reigns, he's like, your little friends can't get in here now, or whatever goofy thing he said.
No, that's all fine. All the action up to that point, fine. But then, like, once it went into overdrive, it was done, man. Game over.
Yeah, but it's you have to... You can't be mad at them continuing this storyline and having all these people be involved. There hasn't been one Hell in a Cell where there's an ongoing storyline. Kane ripped the door off the first Hell in a Cell.
All right, fine. Let's assume...
Yeah, get him, man.
Let's assume everything was sunshine and rainbows up till even Brock Lesnar laying everybody out, right? It's fucking Hell in a Cell. How do you have a no contest in Hell in a Cell?
Again,
that's fair.
How? That's fair.
No, it's not.
No,
they
no,
were ready
no.
To...
We're you're, agreeing you're, with you.
Your point.
Your oh, point agreeing. Is fair.
Okay. Relax. I'm getting relax fired up over here.
Grandpa,
it was
Jesus.
The same shit with the Jeff Hardy match. It's like Jeff falls and he gets hurt and the referee's calling the... And Randy Orton's right. He's like, fuck you. Why are you calling the match?
I did enjoy the Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton match a lot more than I thought it would.
I loved it.
It was a very slow plotting. It was a long match.
Oh, can I play you my son's opinion of the match?
Oh, your son has an opinion of the match?
Oh, that's it. T3's take.
We watched the match together, and he was into it. Even the whole Jeff Hardy ear thing.
That thing creeped me out, by
but
the way.
But the comment that he made was the reason why I recorded it.
All right.
Okay, I'm sitting here with my son, Tony Biv. He's been on the show before. We're watching Hell in a Cell, and we just watched Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. What did you tell me about everybody jumping and doing all these moves?
Like, they can never finish the match. Like, they never want to finish the wrestling match.
Okay, go ahead.
All they just want to do is just jump off the top of the ring and just do crazy flips. Like, they never want to finish it.
No, what did you call it? You had a word for it. What did you call it?
Like, trick shot.
Trick shot. Exactly right. So what were the trick shots in this one? You what did you see with Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy jumped off the top of the ropes.
Well, he swung from it.
Yeah, but he also, that one time, jumped from the top of the rope, and he did, like, some crazy flip.
Okay, so how long was this match?
A half an hour.
Was it too long?
Yeah.
What did you think about Randy Orton putting the screwdriver in Jeff Hardy's ear?
That looked painful.
Do you really think it hurt him?
I guess it hurt him, like,
What about all the blood on Randy Orton's back?
Yeah, that was...
You see the big goober missing from his leg?
Yeah.
So overall, with all, what did you call them again? What did you call the moves?
Trick shots.
With all the trick shots and everything that you saw, what do you think of this match? You think it was a good match?
Yeah, but it was a little long.
Little long?
Yeah.
Okay. Long. All right. Well, that's Tony Biv's review of Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. Say goodbye.
Bye.
What's your kid doing next Tuesday?
Yeah.
You want more recaps?
We could dump you and just teach him how to set everything up.
Thanks. No, he was
teaching him how to be an internet mark, aren't you?
He was like, what's with all the trick shots? I'm like, what did you call him? He's like, trick shots. I'm like, hold on.
Is a trick shot?
It's like a high spot.
It's a high spot.
No, I get that, but what does he think it is?
You know, like all those like...
Is it like a Fortnite thing?
It could be a video game thing. Like, you know, like sniping
like the guy that throws like the frisbee off the top of the hotel balcony, like... 150 yards away through the basketball shot. Hoop.
Yeah, kind of like they just, like, he felt like they kept just wanting to do, like, these big moves
right.
rather than try to.
I just
want to
know where he got the word from.
And when he said Jeff Hardy was jumping off the ropes, that was when he did the swanton at the one point. But then there was also the other one where he swung, you know, from the
well,
top.
That
finish,
ended the match.
You know? But that was bullshit, too. It's like, why would the referee want to call the match for that? It's Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, but I think the point was they're trying to get over. They were trying to get over through the commentary that Jeff Hardy's never been in a Hell in a Cell match, and this is his big moment, and he's looking to go balls out.
He always wanted to be in a match.
I think they're just trying to convey the severity of him doing what he did. I get your point, and Randy Orton didn't seem to give a shit because he covered him and he got the win. So,
well, here's the other thing too: if you're the referee, why are you calling for the medics instead of calling the match if you're that worried about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, the medics are coming down with the stretcher regardless of the pinfall happening or not. So if you're the referee, why wouldn't you just, count them out of the match? And
give
the match
to give that sense of realism, like, you know, oh, this wasn't supposed to happen or he's really hurt. I really don't know. I can't answer to that.
And here's the other aside. When did the referees start to look like wrestlers?
Because most of them are wrestlers.
I understand, but, you know, Dave Hebner gets hit with an errant shot, and he's down. How are you going to justify one of these fucking big juicehead referees getting knocked out? You know what I'm saying?
The same way you justify when there's a special guest referee and he gets knocked out.
He got sprayed in the eyes with mace.
Last night, Sunday night, Mick Foley got sprayed in the eye with mace. But it's happened. If you go through the annals of professional wrestling, there's been some special guest referee who gets knocked out of the ring or takes an errant shot, and then he's down.
Yeah, but these guys are so big. Like, they look like they could take a pile driver and just shake it off. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have to...
I want my referees to be skinny guys.
Well, I mean,
you know?
Danny Davis. Joe Morello was no small guy. Shane McMahon wasn't a small guy.
Compared to who they were in the ring with?
I mean,
I'll tell you.
Danny Davis wrestled.
Kind of changing... The referee
Ronnie Garvin, thing, even though that was all storyline.
But in the same aspect, you want to talk about, I did not realize how big McIntyre was until he was standing next to Dolph Ziggler.
McIntyre's a big motherfucker.
He's going to be, he's the guy. He's the next guy that's going to go in. I'm not saying he's the champion. He's the next guy that they're going to put in there with Roman Reigns when this whole triple threat thing is done? Who else are you going to put in there?
I always feel a little hesitant when you say that about him. He's a great big guy. Him and Dolph had great chemistry. They look like they've been teaming for decades in that match. They were amazing together. They were hitting all the same spots together. But him on his own, I think he might be drier than fucking toast, dude.
I tend to agree more with Tony with this. Not in terms of talent and what he has to offer in the ring, but when he speaks.
He needs Dolph Ziggler. He needs that shit to be with him.
And I wish I felt completely the opposite, because I'm a huge McIntyre guy. And I thought that him in NXT was awesome. He was a babyface. It was different. But he was a completely, to me, he was a completely different guy, which I guess is what it is with NXT and the main roster.
That's why Bobby Roode is with Chad Gable now.
Oh, fuck.
I'm just saying.
Is there anything?
I said this last week, too. So we got to stop bringing this shit up.
They keep putting it on TV.
They did again, and he's this little goofy Olympic Gable. See, now, if they did a gimmick where they called him like kind of like a tribute to Power and Glory and called him Gable and Glory, I'd be all about that. And they came out with like the 80s sunglasses with Gable
and
Glory on
them. What if they called him Glorious Gable and they come out in rainbow colors?
Wow.
Balor Club is for everybody, Tony.
Wow. Sorry. Jesus, you know, I thought when you had the hiccup before and you were yelling,
yeah,
cocksucker,
I thought that was definitely
we were
intentional.
Moving past that, but now you can't help yourself, huh?
Look, sometimes they don't work. What can I tell you?
No, that did not work.
That
at
did
all.
Not. That was awful. But I like if Glory and Gable. That I think that or Gable and Glory or something like that. I'd be commit to the team, not just these two. This goofball, who I hate to say that because I respect Chad Gable.
Do you think it's just a case of them not having anything for them to do and then putting it together and hoping?
How do you not have anything for Bobby Roode?
Because they don't.
But yeah, like Bobby Roode kind of fell off.
Because
the,
look, you got to look at what your main players, like we talked, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago when we were at the Brown Bear Pub, 104 Harrison Avenue, right. Check them out. Great specials during the football season, Thursday, Sundays,
amazing
and Mondays
specials,
nights.
Dude.
Outside of the top six, your top six guys, where yeah. All four titles on Raw are involved in that feud.
Yeah.
And then you go over to SmackDown. It's Shinsuke and Rusev are now feuding, or at least they're having a match tonight. AJ and Joe is still going on. And the New Day is
the Bar
feuding with the Bar.
Yeah.
And then you have Aiden English and Rusev kind of in the tag team thing. And you have Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton somewhere in the U.S. title picture. So there's no room for Bobby Roode. You have to make space for him. And at some point, you figure McIntyre and Ziggler are going to drop those titles, and they're either going to stay as a faction or they're going to go their separate ways. So you need to rebuild that Raw tag team scene.
Yeah, but this to me is not rebuilding a tag team scene. This is them going back to what they've always done in the past and putting two randos who they have nothing for and putting them together. That's not building a tag team division.
Yeah, but if it works like the Bar did, then you have something.
I think the Bar made that work for themselves, and that's more of a believable tandem.
I miss the Bar.
Oh, I like
anything.
They're on SmackDown. They're going to be challenging the New Day for the tag titles in Australia.
Aiden English. Hello. Aiden English and Rusev had a great match with New Day.
Against the New Day, yeah.
I liked it. I liked Aiden English with New Day. When he does the Rusev Day.
But they're teasing that dissension between Aiden English and Rusev.
Why? Aiden English, we put the Allocade on him.
Allocade. Yeah, but I think at some, like, Rusev and Shinsuke tonight on SmackDown. You know, if Aiden English costs him another match, maybe then you can insta-feud Rusev and Shinsuke, and Randy can go after Shinsuke for the U.S. title. Like, who knows what the plans are?
I'd rather have Bobby Roode back on SmackDown and Rusev not exist in my life anymore.
Wow. I don't get it.
And I know for a fact I'm in the minority on that. I'm probably in a group of one that just never got Rusev. I get the Rusev Day. I get it. It's huge. It's whatever
Rusev
people love it.
Day.
This and that. But I just, him as like, when he comes on my screen, I'm just like, there's another guy.
Is it X-Pac heat? Like you change the channel or you just don't care?
No, I'll watch it because I do enjoy the crowd's response to him. The other thing that bothers me now lately, and I'm totally jumping, is how anyone that's paired with like a female wrestler, the female wrestler feels the need to hone in on what made these guys popular. Like Rusev Day, like the two modes that come to mind are Brie and Lana.
because Rusev Day was huge, and then Lana, of course, Lana has to have a Lana Day shirt. You know, you had Daniel Bryan with the yes, and now you have Brie Bella doing the yes. Like, what? Like, it's just weird. It's just like, why? Like, you had Brie Mode. Brie Mode was a cool little saying, and now actually,
she screamed Brie Mode during the tag match.
And to counter my point, Daniel Bryan has a shirt that says Yes Mode. So I guess it works both ways.
Aww.
I thought that was a great match too.
I love that. What a great! I wish it was higher on the card, but what a great feud.
The ending was a little.
I still don't understand the card. Who cares?
I wanted it to be a title match. I want it to be a title feud with Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Maybe that's the direction they're going.
Maybe.
But who cares where it is on the card as long as it's a good match?
Listen, I wanted Miz to cash in. I wanted him to win Money in the Bank, beat AJ, who I love too, by the way. AJ Styles is, again, one of my favorite guys. And then I wanted Daniel Bryan to beat Miz for the belt at some point and have Daniel Bryan be the champ again. And Miz is my favorite wrestler.
Right.
So, like, that shows you how bad I wanted this to be the top program.
Yeah, but just take it for what it is. You never know where they're going. It doesn't seem like this program's going away.
No, and it is a top program. It's arguably, what, number two or three on
SmackDown.
Yeah, if you consider the WWE Championship the top feud, which you should, then it's either that or it's a toss-up between Orton and Hardy.
I think it's Miz and Daniel
Bryan. You guys are both wrong.
Oh, I'm going to hit you. On SmackDown?
Wrong. You're both
what
wrong.
What are you going to fucking say?
Because...
Oh, are you going to say Charlotte and Becky?
As much
that's
as
on
I...
SmackDown.
Okay.
I forgot. I'll give you
that's
that.
Fine.
As much as
that's
I
fine.
Love that World Tag Title match, that SmackDown Women's Title match was amazing.
That's fine. I'll agree with you if
no,
you want to make that case.
On that, too. Yeah. And I was thinking we needed to get to that match,
you know
too.
What was great? Here's the whole story in a nutshell.
They didn't back off of Becky.
Every single women's feud has been, oh, we're friends and we get along and there's dissension.
Yep.
This one, Becky Lynch is like, fuck you. I'm beating you for the belt. I should have been me to begin with, and I'm taking it. I'm leaving. Even when she won the match, Charlotte stuck out her hand. She's like, no, fuck you. This is about me now.
You read my mind.
Walked away. And that's what you do to get somebody out of this fucking quagmire that is the women's division.
Now, let me ask you this. I'll pose this question to both of you, I guess. Becky got the babyface reaction the entire
time. Oh, they cheered
the
shit out of her with the yays and the boos with the punches and everything.
Does that hinder her potential as being a heel?
No, from what I've been reading, they're going to kind of keep them the way they are. They're not going to push Charlotte as a heel. They're not going to push Becky as a heel. They're just kind of going to... They're letting this one run its course, which is nice. It's refreshing. If they boo Charlotte, they boo her. Roman Reigns gets booed all the time, and they keep pushing him as a babyface.
Charlotte has that just quality about her that you can, while you do enjoy her and you like her and you'll cheer for her, she can come across as being someone that you could hate. Becky, on the other hand, she has like this personality, this face, I guess, that just, to me, it doesn't seem hateable. Like,
she's the underdog.
She's,
that's what she is.
Yeah.
She's adorable, for lack of a better word.
Yeah,
like, you look at her and you're like, I can't hate her.
She's kind of like, I was trying to think of other people I'd put in the same boat. Bailey, I guess, would be one in the same boat if you want to go.
Same thing. When she jumped on Sasha Banks and started beating the shit out of her, people went nuts for her.
Yeah.
Because they're tired of seeing this we're all friends bullshit. They don't do it with the men, and they shouldn't do it with the women.
Like, could you see, like, say, like, they wanted to ever try to turn, I mean, Ambrose, I guess, could do it, probably. But I feel like people would never hate Ambrose. Like,
I mean,
or
if he did something dastardly.
Yeah.
You know what? Ambrose might be in that boat.
I think Finn is definitely in that boat.
Because you never thought that when the Shield broke up, you didn't, what they did with Seth Rollins. People hated Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Hated
him
with
Triple
passion.
H. People fucking, you hated him. You hated everything about him. And he was the champion. And he was a chicken shit champion. And it worked. If it's done right, I mean, I think it'll work with anyone, and I think it's a lot easier to be a heel.
I mean, and Seth Rollins beat John Cena while he was the world champion for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they threw everything behind him, and people hated his guts.
And now he's the most popular. To me, he's the most popular guy in the company, Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I mean,
he's definitely up there.
It'd be hard to argue. Who do you think is more popular?
I mean, you could throw Daniel Bryan just because of.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan's
in
a weird spot right now. Like, I'm not taking away anything from his feud with The Miz, but it doesn't really feel like a top tier feud to me, you know?
They invite you to cheer for Seth Rollins from entrance to everything he does. And, like, that whole Burn It Down, like, that took him to another level to me.
Yeah.
That whole giving him that music and then,
Whenever he starts stomping his foot, the whole crowd goes, burn it down, burn it down. Like,
and they're in a weird spot with him because he's the IC champ now, and there's that tag team title feud, you know, with Ziggler and Claymore.
Claymore and Flanagan?
I always forget his name.
McIntyre?
Yes, thank you.
The furniture company?
And he got the win in the tag title match with the big Claymore kick.
Mr. McIntyre?
That's putting
telling
the guy,
you, they're putting that. He's going to be the next
I
guy.
I don't know about that.
Not the champion, but he's the next. They're lining him up.
They're in a good spot with him right now.
Going into main. Is he like the guy that they use? Maybe him and Roman at Survivor Series?
Oh, I love this music.
They probably put him in a throwaway. Like, he's like the guy that Reigns. He's the guy that Reigns has to beat to make it to, like, WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. But, I mean, if it's done right and you can build him and have him lose, but now he's a formidable, he's made his mark, then I think it doesn't hurt the company.
You know what we need? We need a big fucking, like, King Kong Bundy motherfucker. Not even a big guy like a Roman Reigns or a Braun Strowman. Just a big, fat motherfucking beast.
Can I go on to a completely different aside? I googled WWE tryout dark match, right?
Uh-oh.
And I found Earthquake's dark match where he comes out with Slick. Did you guys ever see this?
Is this when he wrestled Paul Roma?
Yes.
And Paul Roma beat him, didn't he?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think Paul Roma beat him.
But he comes out with Slick to Jive Soul Bro wearing like...
flannel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, okay, so this is not news to anybody.
Well, not to me, but I'm sure it is to other people.
I couldn't believe... he was called, like, Earthquake Evans or something like that.
Yes, Earthquake Evans, yeah.
Yeah.
The alliterations of the old WWE.
Ah, I just wanted to throw that out there because you mentioned big fat guys. R.I.P. Earthquake. But, anyway, going back. So, you need a big King Kong Bundy type.
I think to mix it up... I mean, Kane Dillian's...
Dillian Kane. Killian Dane?
Yeah, something like that.
Was he
a big dude, but I don't know if he's necessarily tall enough to be, like, a Bundy-ish kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what, and I this is what the one thing that I think is hurting Fala is that he's not
tall,
super tall.
Yeah.
If he ever wanted to put boots on, then maybe he could be.
He could, wouldn't it be really funny if, like, he just menaced everyone on 205?
Which is moving to Wednesdays now.
That's yes. Right. Probably permanently. They're moving it for that, for the tag, whatever it is again.
Or are they still going to be able to call it 205 Live if it's not live?
Probably not.
I'm sure they will.
I don't know if 205 is going to be around a lot longer, to be honest with you. I think they're going to wind up merging them.
Well, you could tell with how they're basically implanting all these guys
exactly
onto the main. Even Drew, I mean, Drew Gulak, I think, is fighting Cedric Alexander tomorrow. Is it start tomorrow?
Drew Gulak
was in the mob.
He was like the head guy.
Yeah.
He was the one screaming everything.
And then you have Leo Rush now, who I thought did great in his He looks so tiny, though.
He does. I thought
him and Drake Maverick both look so tiny.
But that's on purpose.
I get it.
That's on purpose.
I was on the fence last week about it, but last night the stuff with him and Lashley and Owens and Elias,
you liked it?
Was awesome.
Yeah, agreed.
Leo Rush looks great, dude.
It's amazing, and this can tie into a whole other conversation. We're gonna go completely off the rails here, but you know how we always bitch and moan about there not being managers in wrestling? In literally the span of 2 to 3 weeks, we now have Leo Rush and Drake Maverick as managers and mouthpieces on Raw. Would this be my choice? Would I rather see them wrestle or Drake Maverick be the guy on 205 Live commish? Probably. But I can't really get mad at them if that's the spot they see these guys in, even though Leo Rush still showed his athleticism in that whole segment.
I think having the dynamic between Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush is hysterical.
Did you see him almost drop him on his fucking head?
I think it's awesome, especially the size difference, and it goes back to what Spike and
Bubba.
I'm looking for the name. That's what I'm.
Spike who? Dudley?
From the cartoons that we were talking about last week.
That's what I was looking up. I can't find
and
it.
We referenced it, and then...
Oh, Scrappy-Doo and...
Not Scrappy-Doo. Spike and... Fuck, he's going to look it up.
8-Ball?
No, it wasn't 8-Ball.
James.
I like that. I also like the Drake Maverick with AOP, because if you think down the line, right?
Chester and Spike.
There you go, Chester and Spike.
Who the fuck is Chester and Spike?
You never. Oh man, you know what? If I you're gonna have to YouTube because I can't play the audio from here.
Is this like a Cartoon Network modern cartoon or
no? This is Hanna-Barbera.
Is this the little dog and the big
Warner
dog?
Warner Brothers. Yes. Hanna-Barbera.
Chester and Spike.
Tony, what was your take on where Scooby-Doo ranks in the annals of cartoon history? Top five, top ten?
I don't know. I mean,
I was very passionate about this, by the way. I talked about it the next day at work with my bosses.
I like the Scooby-Doo porn spoof where Daphne and Zelma were getting it on.
Oh, yeah, these little fuckers.
No fun. That's just like...
That's like a rabbit. Would you like that, Spike? Huh? Would you like that, huh, Spike?
Cat? You know where is it, a cat? You know where is it, a cat?
Yeah, sure, Spike. Sure, sure. I know where that's like Big Bully Busick, R.I.P. Right? That's what it looked like?
That was a good awesome cartoon.
Spike, right. Chester, and Sylvester. So, but Drake being with AOP... You know, if something happens down the line, maybe they feud with another tag team and they get, like, a third person, then you know you could slide Drake in there to actually wrestle. Almost kind of like a Bobby Heenan. Like, Bobby Heenan was a wrestler before he was a manager, so he could take those goofy bumps.
Totally agree.
And I would rather see Drake do that than be the commish on 205 Live, to be perfectly honest with you.
I mean, that's definitely fair. And this was when they started the Cruiserweight division. I remember talking about how when WCW had their cruiserweight division, their cruiserweight still worked other guys. They weren't just segregated to that division. So if that leads to that, which it almost seems like it kind of will be, I won't hate it.
Yeah, that's dangerous ground, though.
But like, it wasn't for WCW.
No, but...
Like, Psychosis would get like the shit beat out of him by like Kevin Nash or Lex Luger, but then he could still challenge for the cruiserweight title the next week. Like, you didn't think anything less of him because...
And it's weird because Finn Balor is a cruiserweight, but he's hanging and banging with the heavyweights all the time.
But he's not billed as a cruiserweight. Like, you don't think cruiserweight division when you see him.
Well, no.
Not the way he's been booked since he's forever.
It's tough. It's one of those wait and see how it plays out, Kevin.
Oh my God. He's not going to be the Cruiserweight champion.
No, I'm not talking about Finn. I'm talking about the spreading around of the 205ers to begin with.
Well, it's going to be very weird. Like, so are they now taping the show on Tuesday? Do we know that?
I think they still are.
But okay.
But it's just going to air because now they're doing the stupid
match challenge, which I heard that Alexa Bliss was taken out.
Yeah, they put in Ember Moon.
Ember Moon, at least for this week.
That's what I mean. Like, how are you going to take her out and then put her back in?
Because she's legitimately hurt.
Yeah, but how are you going to put her back in? Why not?
Because if they find out that she's not so seriously hurt, they can put her back in.
But that's dumb.
No, it's not.
That's like putting you in a tournament when somebody else pulls up lame, and then like you get to the finals and they go, oh, sorry.
Well, if I'm the quarterback of the New York Jets and I get hurt and I'm out a week, and if I'm healthy the next week, I come back in.
But it's a tournament. It's an elimination tournament.
I think it's all part of a storyline. I don't think she's really hurt.
Well, regardless.
And she's not part of their team. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you leave and like you've been replaced, like, they're not the Freebirds. They're not New Day.
I don't think anyone really cares because it's the mixed match challenge, and I don't know anyone that watches it.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I think you're caring too much.
I just want some consistency. Is that too much to ask?
Well,
watch the mixed match challenge, so why do you care?
Because it's WWE.
Did they make? Did they say anything about? Did they say it was a permanent replacement?
No. They don't say any of that.
They said,
eat my shit.
The explanation given for Bliss not wrestling was WWE claimed that Bliss suffered an arm injury at Hell in a Cell, with Kelly saying that Bliss isn't cleared to compete after seeking medical attention due to numbness in her left arm.
Numbness?
Ronda Rousey submitted Bliss with an armbar in the Raw Women's Championship match on Sunday.
So it might be.
So they also pulled her off the house shows.
But Jeff Hardy worked a house show this weekend.
And yesterday. I'm sure it's just a storyline.
It might be. It sounds like it.
No, well, whatever.
So,
are we done with the pay per view?
I think so. I think we covered the pay per view.
Did we miss anything?
No,
I don't think so.
Not that I want to talk about.
Covered the tag match. Covered Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Covered the both women's matches. The Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
The mixed tag match.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
fine. Am I forgetting anything?
No.
That should be everything, right?
Yep.
Joe and AJ we talked about.
I do like the fact that they had fewer matches and they meant more. That was big to me. Rather than trying to shoehorn a couple like little matches here and there. The pacing of the card was nice. That's it.
Did you watch Monday Night Raw by any chance?
Nope. Oh, actually, I did. I watched.
How do you not know?
Because my life is very turmoil, topsy turvy, winded, and I still have to take a shit from 2.5 hours ago.
What?
But
that's rough.
Yeah, I did watch a bit of Raw. I watched Roman Reigns and fucking Baldy Von Corbin over there challenge him for the title. I watched the Brock Lesnar advocate come out with the door, which I thought was a great fucking like opening promo. And then Braun was like, what did he say? You suck.
That was awesome. Everybody sucks. You suck. The crowd sucks. Kevin's still looking at his ankles thinking he's
Kevin, your ankle sucks.
Hey, that looks swollen.
Holy Jesus.
That Braun Strowman match, that was a cash-in of his Money in the Bank?
That's what I wanted to get to.
Because I didn't know what the story was with that.
I thought it was.
I don't think it was.
I think he said that he was going to cash in at Hell in a Cell.
He didn't come out with the briefcase yesterday. Right?
He hasn't been coming out with a brief.
But didn't he give it to
somebody throw it out into the crowd? Didn't Kevin Owens throw it out into the crowd or something?
This is what I kind of wanted to clear. I should have looked this up earlier. Thought that it was his cash in. Like, that's when he said, like, he did the whole Rob Van Dam thing. Like, I'm cashing in on this day.
I watched the first hour of Raw. I watched Corbin trying to convince
Ziggles
to go into a title match, and then he fucked that all up. What else did I see?
Undertaker?
No, I didn't watch CMO.
CMO.
Prince
of Pro, look that up for us,
please,
my man.
Something else we could talk about. Apparently, the rumor is that Shawn Michaels, this is going to be a tag match because the Saudis are throwing tons of money at him.
The Saudis or the Australians?
I thought they were going to do it in the Saudi Arabia.
It was clear in Undertaker's promo last night that Shawn Michaels will be in Australia,
yeah,
and he will be in Triple H's corner, so the Undertaker is going to have Kane in his corner.
Governor Kane?
Mayor Kane.
Mayor Kane. There you go.
Whatever. I don't think he called him Mayor Kane.
It would have been funny if he did, if he came out with his suit and his tie on.
Now, I'm the mayor. I'm the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm the mayor. That's
Kevin with the win.
That's a good call.
That's awesome.
Now, would it be out of the realm of possibilities that they may get a tag match for Saudi Arabia?
That's what I was thinking,
I would not be surprised if they did that.
No, neither would I. And I said that would probably, if it wasn't one-on-one at WrestleMania, that would be your Mania match, Kane and Taker versus Triple H.
As an aside real quick, do you think this twice a year for the next 9.5 years now, going to Saudi Arabia, is necessarily going to throw a monkey wrench in their booking plans? Because I don't know how it's working, but the Prince of Saudi Arabia, or whoever's throwing the money.
I'm the prince.
I'm gonna let him go with it because it's good. Do you think like the Saudi prince throwing money at WWE is going to necessarily change the booking because this is what the guy wants to see?
Yes, I think it will. Maybe not long term, but I definitely think it'll impact what we see on a weekly basis here, which it already has.
So twice a year, we're going to see something that may not necessarily fit what they've been building to, just on the whim of somebody overseas?
I don't think they'd go too crazy with it, but I definitely think it'll alter. Like, who thought, like, if this deal wasn't happening, I know this is Australia, so it's kind of different, but if this Australia thing wasn't happening, we wouldn't see Triple H and Undertaker feuding right now.
No, not at all.
So I think it will impact what we see, and it might not impact the overall. Because look at the other matches on the card for this Australia show. You have John Cena and Bobby Lashley versus Elias and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So that's like a glorified house show match, which is fine. They're
The New Day against The Bar.
Yeah, they're all glorified house show matches.
Ronda and the Bellas against the Riot Squad.
Yeah. They're already kind of feuding anyway. So I don't think you'll see anything drastic unless like they say, hey, we want a title change, I could see happening at the Crown, whatever.
The Crown Jewel? Yeah. What was it called? The Crown Jewel?
The Crown Jewel, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think so. I think there's some agreement where this is what we'd like to see, and then this is the direction we're going.
Well, it's like, hey, we want Yokozuna for this show. Well, here we go.
The guy apparently was a big 90s wrestling
fan. We can't give you Yokozuna.
Okay, okay. I got an idea. You give me black guy slip and fall. Give me black guy slip and fall.
That's it. That was I'm gonna.
So it. Twice a year for 10 years, Titus O'Neil is guaranteed a payday because they're gonna make him slip and slide around ringside.
God.
You might see like
make him fall. Go ahead.
Like a Ric Flair appearance or a Sting appearance.
Ric Flair drip.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more of Sting.
I just don't think they're gonna.
Sting doesn't care, dude. He's done.
I don't think they're gonna change the direction that they're going.
It's a boatload of money, dude.
Sure it is, but
it's so much money that they had to give the women their own pay per view.
Yes, and at the same time, they're breaking down these barriers and they're trying to shed light on the Saudi Arabia culture.
Arabia.
And
I gotta go.
And just show them in a different light and show that this working relationship with the WWE could be a step in the right direction.
Saudi Arabies.
I got bit.
Saudi You're foaming Arabies. At the mouth. Saudi Arabies.
But, I mean, I don't think what they're going to be doing over there is going to be any different than the Australia shows, the Starcade shows. They're just mega shows. That's it.
You book Outback Jack. You get Outback Jack.
I bet they probably thought that guy that they had in that Royal Rumble was Yokozuna.
Who, the Asian guy?
Yeah, who was out there for 2 seconds.
Kevin is on fucking
Look,
fire.
The WWE is just trying to take over the world. They're doing some tryout in Chile, too.
That's it.
Hope like they brought their coats.
The fucking worst.
Prince of Pro did get back to us.
Uh-oh.
Bronze Cashin was at Hell in the Cell.
Boo. Okay.
He Boo. Gave it to Corbin. So now that is something that I have a bit of a problem
that's
with because now that's just
bullshit.
A total waste of it.
Yep.
And now it's just gone.
Yep.
So it's not like he cashed it in and lost it.
Yep.
It just disappears.
That's
now.
Why he's getting his rematch.
Yeah, but his rematch is in a 3-way dance.
Oh, well.
Halfway across the world.
Good.
WWE is jamming them in there, too. October 6th is the Super Show.
Fuck yeah.
The 28th is Evolution. November 2nd is the Saudi Arabia show. The 18th is Survivor Series of November. And then what they do? The
Crown Jewel?
No, the 24th is going to be Starcade in Cincinnati.
Is that a network thing? That's a house show, right?
Not a network thing, but there's still it's being touted as a big show. They're jamming.
Well.
And then TLC in December. I mean, that's that's 5 pay-per-views in less than 2 months. Or about 2 months.
And maybe 4, because I think Starcade is just
no,
a
not,
house
I'm
show.
Not including Starcade.
Oh, okay, you're not. Okay.
Super Show, Evolution, Crown Jewel, Survivor Series, TLC. From October 6th
October.
To December 16th. In about 2 months and a week, you're getting 5 pay-per-views.
I have a bad. Oh, speaking of pay-per-views.
It's a lot. You're not complaining. You don't even watch half of them.
I watch every single one, man.
I watch
right, you
everything.
Don't remember them.
That's a good point.
All right.
No, but I watched.
What? First of all, I have to look at what this idiot, where he goes for his wrestling news.
Shut up, because it's the only place that actually has a printed copy of what was leaked about the Evolution pay-per-view. Did you guys talk about this
though?
Last week?
No, because it didn't show up on any reputable
right.
wrestling websites that we
Where's
go to.
The, where is he going?
The Sun?
Here comes... Is that
it's
the Toronto Sun?
Only place that
the
I
Baltimore
found.
Sun?
You know
yeah.
what?
Is that where you found the Sam got fired from the WWF stuff too? Yeah.
No, that. Stuffs. Listen, I can't hate on him for that.
Stuffs too. Stuffs
I believe
the website.
Too.
Go ahead, give him a plug, dickhead.
It's the Sun.
The Sun.
It's a UK publication.
Oh well, that's
stupid.
Even better. They
no,
don't
the
even
Sun
know
is the Sun is a the yeah that is a real legit paper.
Here, WWE confirmed Lesnar to headline Saudi Bash for reported $1 million deal. There you go. Nikki Bella confirms she's dating again following split with
Don Cena. Oh, my God. Just
John
read
Cena.
The fucking paper.
No, you wanted good news? I'm giving you the latest
WWE
news.
I didn't even ask you for news.
It's got the breakdown of the Evolution card from top to bottom. You're going to get an NXT Women's UK Women's Championship match 4-way. Did they have a women's champion? They crowned somebody, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I don't know if it's aired yet, though.
Oh, okay. So then I won't mention any names then, because I don't even know who these people are. There's going to be an interview segment with Carmella with the ladies of the Glow Wrestling TV show, which won 2 Emmys, by the way. It's a good show if you're not checking it out. The Riot Squad versus Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Ivory. So Ivory's coming back. But hey, has the Riot Squad won a match ever?
As like a team?
As anything.
I mean, they've had individual wins.
But do they win? Like, it just seems like they're just jobber fodder on Raw.
Well, they might be.
Oh, well, whatever. The Mae Young Classic Final, has that been announced yet?
No.
Okay, so I won't spoil
that. Have you been watching
that?
I haven't. That's the one thing I haven't been watching.
A 20-women battle royal where the winner faces Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship later in the night. Asuka versus Ember Moon.
Burpee.
Naomi. Naomi versus Melina. She's coming back. Mickey James versus Lita. We knew that. The winner of the NXT Battle Royal versus
Melina's coming back?
Yes. Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus. We knew. Okay, here's one we didn't know. Alicia Fox and Kelly Kelly, Matt's favorite.
Wait, hold on. How is Kelly Kelly my favorite?
Shut up. You're spoiling the bit. The Ilconics. The Ilconics?
Iconics.
Whatever. Peyton Royce and some other one. Versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya, girl power, for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Yes, you heard that right. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair for SmackDown. Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey for Raw. Great. That amazing Nikki Bella gets to headline the pay-per-view against
Ronda
Rousey.
It's not about Nikki Bella, stupid.
It's about Nikki Bella, dude.
No, it's about Ronda Rousey being the face of the women's division.
And I guarantee you, 99% of that is not happening.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. It looks pretty official. It's even got
Has a WWE letterhead on it.
Pretty official.
It says NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Any idiot who knows anything about wrestling could type something like
and
that.
And why would the Nassau Coliseum need to know or care what the card was?
They have it printed. They probably give it out to like tons of people. I don't know. We should ask Sam while he was
All right,
on the
well,
phone.
You print this up, and then we'll go through Evolution when they release the card and see how much of it is right.
Okay, you got it. I'll bookmark it right now.
Well, I mean, some of it we know is right.
Sure.
I'll give him that, but... Like, I didn't hear anything about Melina coming back.
She's coming back, dude.
I thought I saw something about her coming back, too.
That's her music.
That was really it from Raw in a nutshell. It wasn't as
No Hawkins again.
No, but he's got his own collection on the
network. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I have fucking barely any time to watch anything.
Oh, you all break my balls. I didn't have time to pull up the fucking actual printout from a reputable website, but, you know, go fuck yourself.
The fact that you don't go to a reputable website is the reason why I make fun of you.
Can I give you news that broke yesterday?
Please.
The concussion lawsuit.
Oh, that's a big story, actually.
Dismissed. U.S. District Court of Connecticut Judge Vanessa Bryant issued her decision from the bench. Pretty much calling the attorney for the plaintiffs.
Told him to steal third.
Who, yes, I got that.
Thanks.
Constantine Quiros, I guess he's been the attorney that's been pushing these concussion lawsuits for the past 3 or 4 years. Road Warrior Animal seems to be like the head plaintiff on these cases. Apparently, they had a chance to actually change and amend their pleadings a few times. They couldn't do it.
This is according to my niece's coloring book.
What?
That's the source you got this from.
Oh. All right. I'm not the only one that bombs.
I thought that was great.
I pulled the same story from...
No, I know the story, but...
Oh, the joke was terrible.
The joke was fantastic.
No, it was pretty bad.
That was a boo.
If Tony was talking about, like, some other nonsense, then maybe you could have gotten away with it, but this
But
is
it a... was a follow-up of what he immediately just... We called out on bullshit.
Yes, but this is a real news story.
Oh, I know. I read it.
Yes. So, but you didn't read the other one.
Well, thanks to you all.
I saw the flyer.
So if he came up with another news story that was not...
The whole purpose is that because we already discredited him for one, we're discrediting him for everything.
No,
that's
I'm not
going to joke.
I have the same story, so I won't discredit him for this.
Okay.
Well, all right. Some people just don't get humor. That's fine. Keep going.
Just aren't good comedians.
No,
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm fantastic. I get booked. I get paid. Keep
you
going,
get
Tony.
Booked in West Orange.
He's the star of the Dumbfellas podcast.
Where's everywhere? Please, no. Enlighten me.
I haven't done Broadway Comedy Club. I haven't done New York Comedy Club.
I know you're afraid of the city.
I'm afraid to drive to the city.
Kevin's afraid to drive to the main streets.
All I know is you do Tierney's every Sunday night for like 10 people.
Actually, more like 100 people, but that's okay. Keep going.
All right.
Didn't you guys have Mark Norman last week at Tierney's?
No, at Brown Bear.
Brown Bear, that's right.
But I promote that show, so that doesn't count.
Why?
Why? That counts. You got to take credit where credit's due,
dude.
Kevin.
Come on, dude.
Don't fucking sell yourself short.
Yeah, don't be Dennis Stamp of the fucking Shining Wizards. You got booked.
Fucking own it, bro.
No, but I booked myself.
Doesn't matter. You put together the show, though, and it was standing room only.
Come on, bro.
All right, cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And they got the best
feather
fucking
in the
wings
cap.
In all of West Orange.
The wings are slamming, bro.
I know. I've had them.
We don't fuck around food.
It's a feather in your cap, Kevin.
All right, Tony, let's go on with this concussion story.
So, all right, long story short, the judge shit on Constantine Kyrgios for bringing these, what she called, frivolous claims constantly.
Frivolous.
Pretty much telling him to knock it off. So he wrote some opinion letter back to her and to Jeremy McDevitt. And, of course, Jeremy McDevitt was... Now, look, I don't know about you guys, but when doctors wind up having to testify against doctors when there's medical malpractice or lawyers are getting sued for, like, legal malpractice, there's sort of like an unwritten thing where you kind of don't rat out your own unless it's really egregious. And Jeremy McDevitt is like... I don't know why this guy isn't disbarred yet. So you know he's really fucking annoyed with this guy. So that's where we're at.
Well, this has been going on forever.
Lawsuits are, oh yeah, but he keeps trying to push it and twist the screws. And the judge told him, you have nothing here that even, like, even if I look at it, everything in your direction has nothing. There's no case. She said you provided information for one person that had a concussion, and you're trying to say that because of that one person, they're responsible for everybody else and their problem.
Did they say who that one person is?
I would assume that it was probably Road Warrior Animal, but I didn't read who it was.
Okay, because the list I have is him, Orndorff, Snuka, which clearly...
Well, Snuka
really...
was the head guy on it until, you know, Faith stepped in there.
His brains turned to potatoes.
A soupy brother.
What are you going to do? I mean, look, I think the lawsuit's a little ridiculous, personally.
The problem is that, yeah, they didn't have anything to, like, to base their claim on.
You know what you're getting into when you go into professional wrestling.
Assumption of the risk. That's what it is.
Just, you gotta own it.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one's suing fucking Toyota because they got in their car and they got in an accident.
Well, people sue Toyota for a bunch of other reasons.
Yeah, but you can't...
You can't sue Toyota if you had an accident with your car. If you had an accident with the car because the fucking wheels fell off...
That's, now, yes, that's a different story.
Now that's Toyota's fault.
But you
fault.
Assume the risk every time you get into the car to drive.
Yeah.
Right?
McMahon wasn't telling these people to get concussions, you know, slamming them and whatnot, so...
Right.
It's the nature of the business.
It's a dog eat dog world.
If you're wearing milk bone underwear, baby.
If you were too hurt to wrestle, then you didn't get paid. I mean,
that's it.
It's just the way it is. If I don't go to work, I don't get paid. So.
Paul Orndorff's got a GoFundMe, by the way.
I saw somewhere that he already reached his goal.
Well, good for
10
him.
10 G's?
But, yeah. But I say people keep giving him money.
Good for him.
Keep
he deserves
doing it.
It.
I know.
We interviewed him. Nicest
I'm
going to
start a GoFundMe for my sock disease.
You don't have a sock disease, Kevin. Jesus Christmas.
High blood pressure. Congestive.
There was a guy one time, he did a GoFundMe where if you donated $1, he said your name out loud while he was making himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He made $500,000.
Did he really?
Yes.
There's a whole GoFundMe
because
scandal.
People all donated $1.
Is GoFundMe the one where you get to keep it even if you don't reach your goal?
No, that's Kickstarter.
I don't even know.
One of them, you get to keep it if you don't reach your goal. So
yes.
A lot of people think that's a scam.
Why?
What are you, why? Because the guy said for $1, I'll say your name while he's making a peanut. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
People donated to it.
Clearly, I need to do that. Shit. I could use a half a, what do you
that's
say,
it.
Half a million?
Set it up so while you're taking a shit, you'll yell people's names.
I'll yell people's names while I make pizza. For $1. Half a mil?
Making a dough. He's like, fuck, I know you're going to Billy Gumbotson.
Absolutely. Awesome. Are you kidding me?
Speaking of awesome, is it time for Pluggos? Yeah, I'm done, dude.
Pluggos? I did plugs before.
Well, I mean for Kevin Garofo.
I was trying to get the information because I do have shows coming up.
See, there you go.
Come on, Kev.
Tomorrow night we will be back in West Orange at the Brown Bear Pub. It's a free comedy show.
104 West Orange.
104 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey. Then next Wednesday, which is, I believe, the 25th, I will be somewhere, I'm trying to get the information, in Jersey City, performing with some good buddies of mine, doing stand-up comedy. I'm trying to wait for my buddy Josh Wells to get back to me with that information. Then the very next night, I shall be in at Tap House 15, up on Route 15, up in Sussex County somewhere.
Jefferson,
yeah. So I'll be up there on the 27th or the 26th, one of those days. I forgot that I actually did have shows coming up. So I have a few, and then there's a few more that are coming up towards the end of the month. Vampiro is that was our second guest of the night.
Vampiro live
in studio.
Play my fucking music.
All right. So hopefully, maybe these guys get back to me with the actual information. Otherwise, I'll plug it next Tuesday.
Hey, I know you said you're done, but can we just briefly touch on the Matt Hardy thing?
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that. See, I brought news and notes, and you didn't even have any to throw out there. Go ahead.
I have it all.
I'm off tomorrow,
so
I'll go
all
night.
Laptop, dickhead.
You know who that is?
No,
Goofy.
All right. Why are you off tomorrow?
I took off.
Yom Kippur, buddy. Everything's closed.
No, vacation day. No. Use it. Babysitting the old niece.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to temple.
Ah, back door for Yom Kippur.
Ooh.
Should get off.
Is that? Take your pants off.
So, Matt Hardy is either fully retired or teasing it. He put out on his YouTube account from the Corpus Christi, Texas house show that he kind of said, thank you guys. I have two young kids and a wife. It's time for me to go. Time for me to go home.
Yeah, go park your wife some more. She's hot.
She is hot. Right. And they are safe from Hurricane Florence.
Yes.
Yes, that's actually, I had family in Wilmington, too, that had to evacuate. They got out.
Did they do okay? Are they okay?
They went to Raleigh and Wake Forest. So they're
staying with the Stallion?
My cousin, she's back with her husband. So they're back. They still don't have power.
The worst.
A tree fell into my aunt's house.
I got a tree on my house.
All right.
Sorry. The worst. He's the fucking worst.
Like, legit, like, serious shit. I'm talking about, like, how they can't get back to their home.
For real?
For real.
Sucks.
He just said for real, dickhead.
I just asked
My cousin
real,
was
dude.
Able to get back today. I don't think my aunt and uncle have yet. But a tree fell on their house.
Oh, it sucks.
So
they have homeowners insurance.
I hope so. I mean, I would imagine.
Well, as long as they got out safe and they can get back, I mean, that's the most important.
Well, I haven't heard if they've gotten back yet. I know my cousin did. I don't know if my aunt and uncle.
The house is wrecked? Like, it's bad?
I don't know. I just know my dad told me a tree fell on their house.
The Hardy's house, the compound got flooded.
I saw him sweeping out his video game arcade.
He was talking about it because somebody had asked him how he made out, and they said, yeah, he's like, it's underwater, but he's like, we're doing all right.
Yeah, so yeah.
As long as they're safe, dude, you know?
Yeah, they got out ahead of time. They made a last-minute call to leave because they've never left during a storm. So they finally did, and they made the right move.
It's a smart thing to do.
Yep.
All that shit's replaceable.
Do you think they saved...
I mean, you've been through that shit.
I know.
Yeah, like, fuck.
We got video of Matt paddling down...
Oh, that was nothing. That was just a storm.
Yeah, that was the first flood.
Yes.
The second one was god-awful.
The second one wasn't bad. The third one, that's the one
that
put us out.
Oh, the third one, that was it.
There was a second one, and it didn't get as bad as they said it would, but the third one was the one that put us out.
The third one was up past the living room, wasn't it?
The third one filled...
like, Jamie's room is completely underwater.
Yes.
And he didn't move anything out.
No.
Oh, his video game collection.
Don't worry. He
that stuff was up high.
Him. Yeah.
But, like, all the porn that was under his bed was floating around the, the downstairs area.
Amazing.
Titties.
So, yeah, Matt Hardy, I mean.
It was a hell of a career.
Yeah. I mean, look. And that's another thing. Like, you see Jeff Hardy doing all this crazy shit last night. I get it. It was his first Hell in a Cell. Does he really need to be doing that stuff?
I don't think so.
It's in his blood, dude.
Okay, well, I mean,
I'll never put myself in somebody else's, like,
I mean, Ric Flair was taking thumbtack slams into his fucking 80s.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
I
remember that.
I don't know. It's uncomfortable to watch.
Do you think they recovered the meat that Randy Orton lost from his leg?
That was gross, too.
That was,
a big old chunk?
I just wanted to rip it off and chew on it.
Ugh, what's wrong with
a
you?
A piece of Hubba Bubba.
You're gross. Now I'm done. Now I got nothing.
That's it.
I got Cody Rhodes' first NWA title defense will be at the Ring of Honor TV tapings in Las Vegas against Willie Mack.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
He should put it up against Freight Train. I'm coming for you, Cody.
Didn't
you get any spots for him?
Who? Didn't he die?
Freight Train died? No.
That could be fake news. I could be stealing Tony's gimmick.
Oh, boy.
No. I'm talking about...
You mean Tony's gimmick that he doesn't do?
I'm talking like a while ago, I thought. Maybe not. No, I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. So I don't want to...
Well, we're going to find out right now.
No, he's probably...
No, you don't want to find out if he's...
No, I mean, find
dead.
Out, but... I thought that he did.
No, I don't see anything. All right, here.
Beautiful. Good luck.
Looks like he's still alive.
You got music? I got a song to end on.
Oh, is it something that we've heard a billion times?
Yes, it's a short one, but it's I'm in the mood because our friend Jason Sines posted up a picture of himself wearing the Shining Wizards pink and black, which is available at shiningwizards.com. Go over there and get one while supplies last. They are going quickly. We're running out of sizes left and right.
Those aren't sizes.
What?
Oh, my aunt, 1 hour ago, my aunt just posted back home in Wilmington.
Nice.
We took a beating, but it can all be fixed. I wish everyone was as lucky as I was, thinking of those who lost everything. Thank you to my cousin and his wife for putting them up. So thank you. Beautiful.
Cool.
It's good news.
It's very good news.
Just saw that right now.
I didn't mean to make light of your family's misfortunes.
No, it's all good.
No, it's really not. I'm an asshole.
Just pay attention during the show, stupid.
Shut up, dick. You know how many fucking hats I'm juggling over here? And there's not even one on my head.
No, how many hats are you juggling?
Seven. You got closing music there, Pedro?
See if it plays.
Closing music. World Wrestling Federation.
Play it. I stopped it.
The Revolutionary
Force.
No,
why'd you stop it?
The Revolutionary Force in sports entertainment.
An ass. This show brought to you by YouTube. Powers of Pain. Wow. The most successful double turn in WWF history.
It was the weirdest double turn in...
Even Jesse said, now what's going on over here?
Most successful?
I think so.
I don't even remember that with music until like I started watching it on the network. Because when they were heels, they didn't have this.
Well, thanks to Sam Roberts for calling in.
Yes, thank
you,
brother.
Thanks for Kevin, Tony.
Thank
for
you.
Another stellar show.
Thank you, Matthew.
Me.
Except for a shitty opening.
Well, I mean... was funny.
Hey, none of this happens if I don't send Sam a fucking awful email. So you're the best.
Hey, whatever works.
And that's all the information is coming in now. The Last Laugh Comedy Show, Wednesday, September 26th, LITM, Jersey City, New Jersey. Myself, wrestling fan Andrew Lee, Josh Wells. Could be a good time. A lot of fun. All right, sorry.
Don't forget, Dumb Fellas, every Friday now? Thursday?
No, it releases every Thursday, sometimes on Bumper Car. We're recording, actually, this is actually a first. We're recording a live show, not a live show, but we're recording while the show is going to be going on. So we're going to do a podcast while comedy is actually happening.
When is this?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, get out to Brown Bear, everybody, if you want to be on the Dumb Fellas.
Jesus, I couldn't even think of it. He doesn't pay attention. He punches out.
Yeah. All right, guys, thank you very much. I'm Kevin Grifo, Shining Wizards Kevin. On the old Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening to another episode as we march towards 400 and year 7.
The road to 400.
The Shining Wizards.
Just
wrestling
fucking
podcast.
Took a detour on 390.
We'll see if Kevin has diabetes or whatever's wrong with his fucking ankles.
I may or may not be there. We'll see.
Did Tony shit? Find out next week.
Yeah. As the world turns.
At Wizards Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. See ya.
Peace.